The Silver Streaks tradition continues on WGIL Galesburg.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Galesburg Sports. Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Cratty Insurance Agency, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. By Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg, you better call Dave's. By Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. Silver Streaks football is also brought to you by McDonald's in Galesburg. In Knoxville. I'm loving it. By the all-new Galesburg Toyota, the dealership everyone is talking about. By Kehoe Eye Care, they care for people, not just eyes. By Midstate Manufacturing, the headquarters for any of your steel material fabrication or powder coating needs. And by Yem Auto Group on North Henderson in Galesburg, home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yem. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
On WGIL, Brad Benowitz, Sean Hickey with you in the booth. Jake Miller back down on the sidelines this week as we are at Flynn Stadium, one of the better venues to call a game. We are nice up and high and get a good look at the field as it opens up down below us. Jake is down on the field. It's a warm, humid night. Jake, in fact, we're starting to see almost some fog developing at the stadium here just because of the thickness of the air. How's it feeling down at field level?
Yeah, a little hazy, a little breezy down here. I'm thankful for the breeze because this will be the hottest night. You know, I wasn't in Centralia, and you played in the afternoon on that Saturday. It'll be the hottest night, though, that I've been around. But definitely not something these guys aren't used to and what they haven't already practiced in. So beautiful night for football.
Silver Streaks won the toss and deferred to the second half, so they will kick off. And Quincy will have the ball as the Streaks go directional up the near sideline. And it's a short kick fielded at the 20-yard line. And a big hit and a takedown right at the 30-yard line by David Vaynerman. And the run back for Quincy brought back by Hayden Clark, or rather Jack Rupert. In fact, they've got three Ruperts, just like the Silver Streaks had the pulley triplets. They have three Ruperts who will play significant time for Quincy. But this will be our first chance to see the Blue Devils on offense as we are just underway. The freshmen were winners tonight here, 21-14, so a good start for the Silver Streaks on the road. And let's see what Quincy does. Our first time to see these Blue Devils without Jarrell Brock, who's at Iowa State. And as we've been talking about in the pregame, they still have Adante Kreider. He lines up, he gets the handoff, and he goes right up the middle, slips a couple of tackles, and is brought down from behind in first down territory. Aaron Carl with the tackle up to the 43-yard line, and he had room to run in front of him. And it was Carl who tracked him down from the backside.
Yeah, I don't know if Aaron Carl doesn't save a touchdown there, Sean. You're a little closer on that side. But for him to come back from behind and make that play after getting engaged with the offensive line was an impressive motor for the kid right there.
Yeah, that's why you never give up on a play.
Trips to the right, the short side of the field. Rolling right, pressure in the backfield, and a toss. And it's complete to the young man we just talked about a moment ago on the run back, Jack Rupert, but it's a very short gain, and he stays in bounds. It'll pick up just one. The quarterback for Quincy is a first-year starter. Of course, they had a pretty capable quarterback the last couple of years who could make some things happen for them. Lucas Reese is a senior at 6'1", 180, and he just kind of dumped that one off and got the little one-yard gain. Second and nine coming up from the 43-yard line. Just underway in the first quarter, first possession of the game. Second and nine, Quincy. Rolling left on the option. Tosses it to Kreider. Has some opening on the outside. Gets a block and run out of bounds in first down territory. He'll be out in Galesburg territory at the 45-yard line for a pickup of 13 more.
Quincy running a little speed option there, so the quarterback sprinted and pitched off the end man on the line of scrimmage. They were using Hunter Davina as the read over there, and they pitched. And that's a good play, that speed option, when you run it correctly, and the Streaks have had a tough time defending it.
So Kreider, two carries in the game, already 24 yards, and a first down for Quincy from the Galesburg 45-yard line. Out of the short gun, the quick flip from Reese to the outside. Kreider tries a head and shoulder fake, and a nice tackle made by Hunter Davina. And Kreider is slow to get up, holding his left leg and rolling over, and looks to be holding his knee. And we're going to have an injury timeout, just a minute 37 seconds into the game, and Kreider still laying on his side, holding the leg, and almost the way Hunter Davina brought him down, I can see where maybe it extended it a little bit.
Yeah, Brad, something I noticed over here is that I think actually he was hurt a little bit on the play before when he was ran out of bounds on the speed option, because he was bent over, not standing straight up. He was bent over while he was lining up next to the quarterback right there before the play. So then they throw the ball right to him. And, yeah, he's still on the ground, and as the trainers are looking at him right now.
Well, on a tackle, Jake, I'm looking on the replay here. I can see where he looks like he rolled up his leg just a little bit there. I don't know, his left leg.
He's got the helmet
off. Helmet's off. He's sitting up.
Again, we're just underway in this game. It's only the fourth play of the game, and Kreider is being helped up and walked off the field, holding his right knee area. And, you know, certainly, I mean, we would never wish that on anybody.
But the game plan is going to have to change. Yeah, it'd be very similar to, like, last year, where the Streaks ran most of their offense with Kobe Ramirez. You know, that's what Kreider was doing so far for the Quincy offense, is you got a player like that.
Yeah, he walked to the bench on his own, you know, on his own will. I think we'll see number five back in there.
So Shai Benjamin in to replace him, 6'1", 245, a big fullback, and the play goes up the middle into the hands of Scott Sprick with a little toss play to the 35-yard line for the Silver Streaks, a gain of 10, and that's enough to move the chains. It's not that this team doesn't have weapons, but Kreider is just the most explosive and the biggest threat of all. They go quick and up the middle to Benjamin, who just checked into the game. He crosses the 30 down to the 27-yard line. They didn't waste any time. He picks up another quick 8.
Yeah, you mentioned going quick there. They're going no huddle. They have their play calls on a wrist. This is not normal for Quincy, but it's certainly something that we have seen. It's not really causing us too big of a problem.
Another quick snap. They go to Benjamin again. Dragged from behind, but he manages to continue to move forward across the 25 to about the 23-yard line. He'll pick up 4 more. Big kid again. Shai Benjamin, 6'1", 245, and he dragged some Silver Streaks defenders and got the extra yardage for the first down.
He may not have the physical gifts of Kreider, but when you see him in the backfield, he is a large individual, and he's going to be tough to tackle for 4 quarters.
Brings back bad memories of the kid who secured the game away for Dunlap in the opener. Here's a bobble and the free ball, and the Streaks just can't get there in time. It got deflected straight up into the air, came back down into the hands of Sprick, the receiver, and then he still couldn't hang on to it. The Streaks had a shot at it, but it falls incomplete.
Kenny Klein was closest there, and he had a chance at the ricochet. Got a hand on it. But the Quincy has run that short, shallow slant pattern a few times now.
Trips to the right side. That's the short side of the field. Quarterback looks that direction. Now on the draw play, keeps it himself. Running to the right side, but the Streaks contain him and push him out of bounds at about the 23-yard line. Looks to be no gain from up here. The official says his progress was stopped inbound, so he continued to roll the clock. So we're just underway, not quite 3 minutes into the game of a scoreless game so far. Again, Adante Kreider, if you're just joining us, the star running back for Quincy, out of the game with a leg injury on the fourth play from scrimmage, but he was able to walk off the field under his own power. Streaks jump, but the snap is not made. Now he looks to the sideline. Reese does, the quarterback. It's 3rd and 11 from the Galesburg 24. Probably 2-down territory. Taking a long time to get this one off. Now the quick play to the outside to Sprick again. Got a little bit of room to run, but Max Carr closes the hole quickly. Wraps him up at the 18-yard line. It'll be a gain of 6, and it'll bring up 4th down and a decision for Quincy. They don't have nearly the kicking game that they've had in previous years. And it's got to be, I would think, 2-down territory from what we've understood about Quincy's kicking game. This is not a distance that they are likely to be able to. In fact, they haven't even attempted a field goal all season long.
Yeah, that's quite the departure, Sean, from when you and I were coaching, because they always had a guy that seemed like was good from 40 in. Every time we played, I don't know if it'd be a soccer kid or not, but Quincy's definitely lining up to go for it here.
Just a weapon, and consider, too, that this, even though it's close, they're still into the wind.
It would be a 35-yarder. Again, trying to draw the Streaks off sides. Reese does not get the snap away. Now he looks to the sideline. Now we're going to have a timeout called by Quincy. So that's 2 snaps in a row that there's just, it looks to be a lot of uncertainty on the field. They got the last snap off before the 40-second play clock expired, but this time Coach Rick Little doesn't take any chances and uses his first timeout with 8:13 to go in the first quarter of a scoreless game.
I wonder if that wasn't the game plan all the way, was that there wasn't a play called and they were trying to get the streaks to jump offside.
Just to make us jump.
Yeah, they almost did. Kane did kind of, you know, flinch. And in high school football, you don't have to snap it. If they cross into the neutral zone, as they call it, it's automatically a five-yard penalty.
Correct.
Kane flinched, but according to the officials, he didn't get into that neutral zone. So
it is closer to a 4th and 5, not a 4th and 6. So
right.
It would have been really close if they'd gotten that five-yard penalty.
Yeah, and even if it didn't give them the first, it opens up the playbook when
Absolutely.
You're 4th and inches as opposed to 4th and 5. So big opportunity here for the Streaks. They've kind of bent a little bit, but they've buckled down here in the red zone, and hopefully they can make a stop.
4th and 5 from the Silver Streaks, 18-yard line. Coming out of the Quincy timeout, 8:13 to play opening quarter. In the shotgun, Lucas Reese, short drop, looking right. Now keeps it, running right, now throws it away into the wide open end zone, and a touchdown to Jack Rupert. Streak got completely burned. He got behind the secondary. Nobody realized it, and he was wide open for the 18-yard touchdown.
Yeah, the quarterback, when he got out of the pocket and he started to scramble a little bit, he tucked the ball, so I think our defenders came up, and as soon as he saw that, he pulled it out and threw it downfield. He had to be close to the line of scrimmage, but I'm pretty sure he was not across it.
An 11-play scoring drive for Quincy to open the game, and a huge fourth-down conversion. Not just a conversion to keep the chains moving, but a conversion for a touchdown not quite 4 minutes into the game. And now the extra point attempt coming.
Block.
And the Streaks do get the block. Again, this Quincy kicking game, not quite what we have seen in the past. So let's see if the Streaks can use that, turn some momentum around, and put together a scoring drive of their own. The kick blocked at 6-0 Blue Devils.
And that's an outstanding effort right there. As a defensive person, I like to see them go out there and really work hard to get that block, because what that does, gentlemen, is it leaves points on the field. You know, that's oftentimes where they're kicking from. You know, it's kind of like a chip shot. It's a gimme. And you really want to get in there and try to block that, because that point can really make a difference later on in the game.
So let's set the Silver Streaks offense here as we get ready to watch Galesburg on its first possession, barring anything unexpected here that would give the ball back to Quincy for some reason. Connor Ayton, again, the second-year starting quarterback, 5'11", 175-pound senior. Jake talked in the pregame about getting the running game going. That's primarily in the hands of Dylan McBride, another senior. Alex Egyptiaco will get some carries as well. David Vaynerman on occasion. And then the Silver Streaks, you get into their the guys to catch the ball. Justice Gatson coming off the big game last week when he was our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. An individual effort, a long touchdown run after catch that kept the Streaks in the game, gave him a chance to come back and tie the game in the fourth quarter, along with Dre Egyptiaco and Aaron Carl. That offensive line left to right, Nick Bastian, Jeremiah Morris, Reed Hawkins at center, and then Blaze Purchase and Kane Johnson on the right side, the strong side of that Galesburg offensive line. So Cornet to kick, or Tournier rather, to kick. Ball teed up at the 40-yard line. 6-0 Quincy. Devils score on their opening possession. The line drive kick down the middle of the field. Backs up Gatson to the 2. Gets his footing. Spurts up field. Gets to the 20. Finds a hole to the left side. Ball kicked out. Heads toward the sideline, and Quincy can't catch up to it. And it goes out of bounds. Quincy poked it free out of Gatson's hands, but Galesburg will keep possession at the 37-yard line. It was a foot race to get to the ball before it got out of bounds. And thankfully for the Silver Streaks, it made it, and the Streaks maintained possession.
Yeah, Streaks really avoid disaster right there. You give up a score on the opening drive, and the last thing you want, obviously, is to put it right back down on the turf and hand it back to him. So, fortunate break. And, you know, Coach Turner talked about making some breaks, and at least now the Silver Streak offense can see what they can do against the Quincy defense.
Quincy defense on the front line. Chai Benjamin, we just talked about, running out of the backfield at 6'1", 245. J.C. Lackey and Dion Washington at 180 and 260. Here's a snap to Connor Ayton. First play from scrimmage. Finds an opening in the flat. Complete to Grant Ayton. And across the 50 into Quincy territory at the 48-yard line in double coverage. Nice job by Grant to hang on to that ball and move the chains.
Sean, what I'm seeing is a two high safety look, and Coach Wash has talked a lot of times about wanting to run the football against that look. So when the Streaks line up in trips, You'll see two safeties deep, one in the middle of the field and one over the top of our trips. We're going to have to get the running game going against that look.
Yeah, that first play there defensively, they only had three down linemen. Here they are back with four, so they look like a more traditional 4-3. Before it looked like more 3-2.
And the Streaks go out of the I formation, handoff up the middle to Cannon Klein at the fullback spot. And he advances the ball to the 45-yard line on a hard run, a gain of three on first down. And the Silver Streaks face second and seven.
That was a little sketchy there, the handoff. The football was on Cannon's hip. You guys probably couldn't see that up there, but Connor reverses out and tries to hand that football in a little scoop that we would call, and he didn't get the football in the pocket there. We need to make sure that the handoff is secured.
Cannon Klein on the season, starting to pick up more carries. He's got 11, and really those came in just weeks two and three, as he didn't carry the ball at all in week one in the loss to Dunlap. The trips shift to the top of the field, the right side.
That's counting
where more space is. The shorter side of the field is to our side, the press box side, and the Streaks get the snap away just as the whistle blows, and that'll be a delay of game against the Streaks.
There was some confusion. Some guys are running off the field, running back on the field, and that kind of confusion just caused a delay in that penalty or getting that snap done before the penalty.
And when you say counting, Jake, maybe people don't know, with no play clock, there's really only one way you know, and that is by?
You look at the deep official in the back, and the quarterback can be standing at him and staring at him. Got to pay attention.
So when Jake said counting, that's what he saw. The pass complete to Dre Egyptiaco at the Quincy 45-yard line and then wrapped up and spun backwards. So they get the penalty yardage back, but no more, and it'll be third and seven now.
There again, Jake, I don't know if you saw defensively, they had a three-man front with the two linebackers in. So that was the, you know, and when you do that, what you're doing is you're covering the trips easily because you have three guys there. And right now they have four guys covering our three, and then man-to-man looks like down here.
Streaks have struggled a bit on third down this season. Let's see what they can do, and not much. As the rollout goes to the right, and Connor has no chance as the defense comes charging through and takes him down back at the 50-yard line. So they lose those 5 yards back, and now it's fourth and 12.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to throw into that coverage. Like Sean noticed that there were more guys covering than we had guys running routes. So if you don't have the ball out of your hands on time, it's going to be tough to fit that into coverage.
So Aiton will punt it away. He gets a high one down the far side of the field, taken at the 15-yard line, and the run back underway by Rupert, and he crosses the 25-yard line to about the 28 is where the return ends. This time it was, it was Dre Humphrey who had the run back there. And Quincy started its first scoring drive on the first possession of the game at the 30. This one will be from its own 28-yard line with 5:50 to go in the opening quarter. Devils on top, 6-0.
You know, the frustrations down here on the sideline are still going back to that 5-yard penalty, and it doesn't seem like much, but it changes completely your play calling when you're behind the sticks like that. And right now the Streaks offense doesn't need any more adversity to overcome to keep the chains moving. Got to clean that up.
Lucas Reese out of the shotgun. Adante Kreider still in the game. The pass across the middle found an opening on a rifle throw into the hands of Scott Sprick, complete, a yard short of the first down for a gain of 9. Be second and one from the Quincy 37-yard line.
Well, it looks like, Jake, when you see there, like you as a quarterback can see as you work the field, where it appears that we're in a zone coverage there defensively. And when you have a quarterback sprinting out like that, you just kind of, as a receiver, you sit in the pockets of that zone and just wait for the quarterback to find you.
Again, a quick snap, and the play goes to the right side, and it'll be a first down for the Blue Devils. As I guess that one was Rupert, and he moves the chains to the 42-yard line on a gain of 5.
Quincy's showing their hand heavily here as they're going to rely on the quarterback in that passing game with the absence of Kreider.
You surprised by the quick tempo they're showing here? Another short drop, rolling right, throwing long. It'll be overthrown, and Max Carr got the one-armed interception, but he was 5 yards out of bounds, and it's incomplete.
Still a good focus.
Only the second incompletion in the first 7 attempts for quarterback Lucas Reese. Second and 10 from the Blue Devil 42-yard line.
Most of what they're doing with their quarterback is he is throwing on the run. They very rarely are just going to sit him in the pocket and let him throw. So you're seeing him moving right, moving left. He definitely likes to move right better as a right-handed quarterback would. And we got trips towards my side of the field.
Yep, trips left. And now going in motion is Dre Humphrey to that direction. So four wideouts to that side. He throws it underneath, complete, and a dive across the 50-yard line close to the Galesburg 47 on the pass completion to Clay Hansen. So he's finding a lot of different receivers in the process too.
They're getting a little scramble, you know, moving to his left, and you just have guys that just sit right in the pockets of the zone that he's picking us apart on.
And when you're a quarterback, it makes it easy. When you're out in space like that and there's not a bunch of linemen in front of you, you see the alleys a whole lot better than when you're just standing in the pocket.
Gain of 11, first down Quincy from the Streaks 47. Handoff to Humphrey, crosses the 45, barrels his way close to the 43-yard line for a pickup of four on first down.
Hunter DeVina in there to make that tackle. Shed a blocker, unfortunately wasn't able to get a shoulder pad on the runner, so he just kind of had to hold on, and the runner gained 4 yards in the meantime.
Second and six for the Blue Devils, 4:20 and counting here in the opening quarter. Quick snap. The keeper, Reese, to the outside. Slips a tackle, bounces to the outside, gets across the first down marker, and bounced out of bounds at the Galesburg 28, close to the 27-yard line. Off balance, scramble, but he picks up almost, now let's see, 43 down to 30, the 35, so he picks up eight. And that's enough to move the chains again. Definitely have the Streaks backpedaling defensively, have them off balance in this opening quarter. Already up 6-0, looking for more. Reese on the rollout right, finds another opening, and the ball juggled and dropped, intended for Hansen at the 30-yard line. He was wide open, but he just couldn't call it in.
And again, another moving pocket there, the quarterback rolling out so he can make an easy pitch and catch. As he scrambled out, our corner on that side, I think it was a Rakeen, came off his receiver a little bit, and that's right where the quarterback went. Luckily, we got the drop.
Streak secondary, Rakeen Spinks and Dylan McBride, the typical corners. Nico Delagiannis and Max Carr, the safeties. Handoff up the middle to the left side, spinning inside the 30, still on his feet. And finally brought down at the 27-yard line, Drake Tournier with a carry. He'll pick up eight, and it'll be third and about two, and some options here for Quincy.
Yep, two down territory here. You could, you know, feasibly take a shot at the end zone and you know that you're going to go for it on fourth down, or play it a little bit more conventional and run the football here for the first down.
Again, Adante Kreider, the star running back, not in the game at the time being for Quincy. He went out after the fourth play of the game with a leg injury of some sort, but they are moving the ball just fine. He's standing on the sideline down almost directly in front of us, even limping a little bit. And now another penalty against the Silver Streaks. This time they do get the Streaks to jump into the neutral zone, and that's a first down by penalty.
You probably saw that, Jake. You talked about it earlier where the defense, they can move, but they cannot go into neutral zone. It looked like we jumped there far enough into the neutral zone.
Yeah, unfortunately, they got the sophomore Aaron Carl there as he stepped into the zone. Just a little, you know, something he's going to learn from. Coach talked about having four sophomores stepping up in there in the interior part of that line.
New set of downs from the 22-yard line of Galesburg with under 3.5 minutes to go in the opening quarter. Looking right, but his receiver wasn't looking, so Reese tucked it in, finds a man across the middle, and it's complete inside the 10, close to the 5-yard line on another pass completion to Hansen. And it'll be first and goal, Quincy, at the 5 after a gain of 20, after a gain of 17.
They've shown that look a bunch where they get quads to that side, and then they motion the running back in the same direction, effectively showing four receivers, and he gets all the attention. The linebackers flow that way, and then the quarterback throws across his body.
First and goal from the 5. Reese on the keeper, looking left, now in scramble mode. Slips past one tackle and then just has to step out of bounds at about the 6. Good pursuit in the backfield by the Silver Streaks, initially by Chase Castile, getting his first action of the season after sitting out the first third with an injury. And making an impact on that play to at least keep Quincy at bay for the moment. Second and goal from the 6. A little more deliberate here on the setup. Under 3 minutes to play, first quarter. Out of the shotgun. Up the middle it goes, and a big hit just inside the five at the four. Humphrey on the carry, picks up two, and it'll be third and goal from the four.
So if you're Quincy now, you just go back to what's been working, and you're going to roll your quarterback out to the right with your receivers out there and let your quarterback, who's been pretty athletic tonight, either make play with his legs or find the open receiver.
Yep, they've done this on third down the whole drive.
Here they go.
Here he comes.
Rolling right. Reese looking that direction, has a man open underneath, upended at the goal line, but he crosses the goal line, and that's a touchdown to Scott Sprick, who got upended at about the one, but he had forward momentum that carried his body and the ball across the goal line for the touchdown. 12-0, Quincy. And another third down conversion for the Blue Devils, and they've scored on their first two possessions with 2:28 to go in the opening quarter.
Here's where that block PAT, though, does come into play, because now Quincy's in the huddle, and they're going to go for two.
And like I said before, a great opportunity here for the Streaks to leave points on the field. Get a stop here. You're only down 12-0.
So Reese out of the shotgun. Again, rolling right.
Pressure.
Pressure in the backfield. Here's a flag down as he slips the initial tackle, throws it back toward the middle, and almost caught in the end zone, overthrew one Silver Streak defender who thought he had a clean shot at it, and Drake Tournier was not able to bring it in. It's a holding penalty against Quincy anyway.
Now, Sean, if they decline that here, well, they don't get that on the kickoff, right? That's not how that's going to work?
No. If they decline it, they get to replay the down.
Right.
And so you'll take the result of the play, which is an incomplete pass.
Right.
And so there again, we held them in terms of leaving points in the field. And so far, what we've done during that special teams point of extra point is we have forced the Blue Devils to leave 3 points in the field.
12-play scoring drive covers 72 yards in 3 minutes and 22 seconds. So in their first two possessions, guys, I don't like this. They've run it 11 plays for 70 yards and 12 plays for 72 yards. The Streaks defense needs to adjust, buckle down, find a way to stop this momentum and get things moving in their direction here.
You know, what's difficult about defending this type of offense of what they're doing here, I was talking earlier about how they're sitting down in the pockets in the zone. If we decide to go man out there, then we vacate those zones. We're going to be locked up man-to-man, and what the quarterback will do is he'll just tuck the ball and then he'll run. So and they'll recognize that. They'll say, this guy is sitting on me, so I want to take him away. So if I'm a receiver that's looking to sit in a pocket of a zone at about 8 yards and I feel somebody with me, I'm going to run downfield and pull that guy along with me so that we have the underneath open up for an under route or an ability for the quarterback to tuck and run.
Tournier with the ball teed up at the 40-yard line. 12-0 Quincy. Streaks had to punt on their first possession. Quincy has scored on each of its first two for a 2-touchdown lead. Tournier gets the boot away, a short kick down the middle of the field. This time Gatson fields it cleanly at the 10. To the 20, up the middle with some room to run at the 30, and tripped up with a nice low tackle made at the 35-yard line, getting underneath, coming in with a pretty good head of steam, Ethan Barnes. Upended Justice. He thought he had more room to run, and his forward momentum after the tackle did take him up to the 37-yard line. So not bad field position for the Silver Streaks. See if they can take advantage of it here. 2:21 to go, first quarter. Gelsberg at its own 37-yard line. Streaks line up in the eye. Connor Ayton comes up under center with Reed Hawkins. Hand off to the right side, Dylan McBride, stuffed in the backfield. Tried to run right where the strength of the Gelsberg offensive line is, but the line collapsed and he loses a yard.
And Dylan McBride slow to get up. It is.
So Adante Kreider, the number one running back for Quincy, out early in the game. And now Dylan McBride slow to get up. He's up on his knees, groggily getting up, and he's going to limp off the field, favoring his right leg. Brandon Terrell, the athletic trainer for the Silver Streaks, is out, puts a hand on his back just to help steady him a little bit, and now Dylan stops and buckles over. Now he stands up again, trying to get off the field under his own power, but he's laboring more the closer he gets to the sideline, so that's not a good sign. 2:07 to go here in this first quarter, and the Streaks down 12-0 and facing second and a long 10 upcoming. So David Vaynerman becomes presumably the primary running back for the Silver Streaks, and he's back in the backfield now. Streaks line up three wideouts to the right. Max Carr, Justice Gatson, Grant Ayton. Drea Gypsyako, the single out, wide out to the near side. Second and 10. Short drop by Ayton. Pressure from the backside. Rolling right, there has some room to run. Gets to the sideline, steps out of bounds at about the 43-yard line. Call him out at the 42. A gain of 5, it'll be 3rd and 5.
Did a nice job there. One of the things that we did, you know, here with this play that we didn't see in the last series was that we ran somebody quickly underneath. So with the pressure that they're bringing with their linebackers, they vacated the middle zone of that. So what we did there was we brought, I think it was Grant Ayton that went through very 5 yards right from last scrimmage into that area, but brother Connor held onto the ball and ran for it.
Maybe a big play early in this game with the Streaks already down, 2 touchdowns and facing 3rd and 5. Short drop by Connor. Pressure on. Turns out of it. Rolling to the near side. Has a man open. Drea Gypsyako, and he overthrows him at the Quincy 35-yard line. Kind of got turned around in man-to-man coverage there with Brady Rupert. And then Dre just couldn't get himself righted to get himself in position to catch the ball, which was thrown a little bit high, but catchable, but just out of sync.
Yeah, I think that was a decent thrown ball. I mean, it was out there. Dre had stopped the route as what he was supposed to do. And as Connor rolled out, then he broke up field like he's supposed to. He threw it out there for him. I think Dre kind of stopped the route again, thinking that he might get underneath the defender, but it was overthrown.
Connor's punt is high, and Quincy will let this one fall. And it takes a Galesburg roll inside the 25. About halfway between the 22 and 23-yard line. So Quincy's third offensive possession of the first quarter coming up with a minute 45 to go in the opening quarter and already leading 12-0. So we'll call it at the 23-yard line. Again, Blue Devils have put together two scoring drives of 70 and 72 yards already in this game. And this one starts a little deeper than the previous two, back to the 23. Be a great time for a big defensive stop, turnover. Quincy has made it look easy through the first two possessions. They'll line up three wideouts to the right, one to the top of the field, and the fake handoff across the middle, and again they go on a slant route underneath, complete to Scott Sprick, and the tackle made at the 31-yard line for a gain of 8.
Yeah, that's one of the few times that the quarterback actually stayed in the pocket. The coaches are going to have to try to figure out an adjustment to get pressure off the edge, but in such a way as to contain the quarterback and not let him roll in the direction that he wants to go.
I think that's one of the reads that they had there, because what we did, Jake, to the trips was we brought our outside linebacker over number two, so number three receiver, the near receiver, was open.
Hand off to the left side, hit just across the line of scrimmage, but Dale Humphrey already was at full speed and got forward momentum when he was taken down at the 33-yard line, enough for the first down. Right at the first down marker, no measurement. Officials move the chains, and a first down at the 33-yard line. Three carries, 8 yards for Dre Humphrey, but he hasn't needed much in many of these situations. 12-0 Quincy. Under a minute to go here in this opening quarter from Flynn Stadium. Up the middle, Humphrey again. Runs into one of his own teammates and then stacked up, still moves the pile forward to the 39-yard line for a gain of 6.
Yeah, and you hate to see that right there, because we had him stop maybe for a 1 yard gain.
Yeah.
But the pile continued to push, and so he ended up with about a 5 or 6 yard gain. So we got to keep our push going, and at first contact, you got to be making those tackles.
They're back to the line quickly. Reese ready to go in shotgun formation as we wind under 30 seconds to go in the opening quarter. Streaks show some pressure. Quick pass across the middle again, this time complete to Scott Sprick. Moves the Galesburg defender down to the Galesburg 46-yard line, and they're very quickly into Streaks territory after a gain of another 15.
And just right now, they just seem to have the answer to every adjustment that we're making. Right now, with this spread, they're able to find the open receiver with just short, quick passes, and and they'll take their little chunk plays, 8-10 yards, with just about every snap of the football.
That one went for 15, 82 yards passing already for Lucas Reese, and Sprick, his favorite target, 5 receptions for 43 yards, and now a hole across left side, and then it closes quickly as Humphrey crossed the 45 to about the 43-yard line, and that's the final play of the first quarter. 12-0 Quincy after one. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
I know. It's hard to believe trying to sell your car to CatDude69 on the interwebs wasn't the best idea you ever had. I mean, he seems so reliable, but he never showed. Take it as a sign to hop in that car and drive straight to Galesburg Toyota, where we'll buy your car today. Hi, I'm sales manager Tyrell Bell. The national clearance event continues, and the 19s are as low as they'll ever get. But even if you don't buy from us, I'd still be happy to put a stack of cash in your hand for your vehicle. So come see us and tell CatDude69 that ship has sailed. Buy local, buy with confidence, buy or sell your vehicle at Galesburg Toyota.
Robert, there's water running down the stairs. Do something before it ruins all the carpeting and walls.
Too late, sweetheart.
Hi, folks. This is Neil Thomas with Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Don't get caught off guard with a catastrophe like this. Sign up for our annual plumbing maintenance program. We'll do a complete inspection of all your plumbing as well as your sanitary sewer and give you the peace of mind you deserve knowing your plumbing is in good condition. Call us today at 342-HEAT for more details. You'll be glad you did.
Stay connected with Galesburg anywhere you go. Galesburg's local news is always online at WGIL.com.
150 yards of offense for Quincy already in the first quarter, and the 12-0 lead for the Blue Devils, and they face 2nd and 7 as we get ready to start the second quarter. Out of the shotgun, Reese pump fakes. Now slips the tackle by Castile back in Galesburg territory, then just flips it forward and out of bounds for the incompletion. Castile got hands on him up high, and then Reese was able to slip out of it. That was all the way back at about the Galesburg 46-yard line, so it'll be 3rd and 7.
Was he able to throw that, like when he was out of the pocket, to for an incomplete pass?
Yep, he just kind of
flipped it forward.
Underhand, yeah. Over here on our side, Jake, I don't know if you can see, but back at corner we have McBride, so he's back in the game.
Yes.
That's encouraging, certainly for the Silver Streaks. Dante Kreider, meanwhile, still on the sidelines for Quincy. Out of the shotgun with a single setback, Humphrey just to the left. Reese out of the gun. Now he looks to the sideline. Looks like they might have tried to draw the streaks into the neutral zone again there. Now he's going to change the play call or make the play call. Rolling left, short side of the field.
Holding.
Throws it off his foot, and he overthrows, and there's the flag down late. But the flag is down, and it was incomplete. Well over the head of the intended receiver, Drake Tornier, along the Quincy sideline.
Yeah, Chase Castile was doing a great job of setting the edge, getting off the blocks, and it looked like a hold, or they even face masked him.
Yeah, there
I
was
think.
A strange body movement. Like his head came down in a way that maybe they grabbed a shoulder pad. I don't know what it was, but he had a strange lunge forward and his head dropped down. So they got the right call.
His mane of hair went flying. And so you knew something was wrong. And so I think that's the first offensive penalty for Quincy
it
to
is.
Set him back.
Yep, their first penalty at all in the game, offense or defense.
Right.
So this is going to take it back into their own territory at the Quincy 42-yard line, and they have to get inside to about the Galesburg 36 for a first down here. So 3rd and long for the Blue Devils. Big opportunity for the Silver Streaks defense. Out of the gun. Pressure on. Reese steps up, avoids one tackle, still under pressure, gets to the sideline, throws it away, complete at the 37-yard line. The official says he was in bounds, and it's right at the first down marker. We couldn't see it from up here. All the Quincy players standing on the sideline, we could not see his feet. The official saw it, said he was in bounds, and the chain's all the way on the other side of the field.
They're going to say
it's
short.
Right at the marker. They're going to say, yep, they're going to say a yard short. So the quarterback, Tornier, under all kinds of pressure in the backfield, 3 Silver Streaks in hot pursuit, and he still gets, not only is able to get the pass away, but is able to make the completion for a gain of 21, and it'll be 4th and 1 at the Galesburg 37-yard line.
All right, and those are the plays, guys. Those are the game-changing type plays where, you know, just one thing just a little bit differently happens there, and they force them into a punt situation. Now hopefully they can tighten up here and still stop them on fourth and short.
They had a fourth down conversion for a touchdown on the opening drive.
Quarterback.
Reese on the keeper to the left side with room to run to the 20. Chased down from behind. Max Carr wraps him up, but not till he gets to the 11-yard line for a gain of 26 more. And another first down for Quincy, but there's a flag down on the far side of the field. All the way back at the 39-yard line. Here's the call.
That's a procedure penalty.
Wow. So that's coming back.
If we can go back to that third and long real quick, I was looking on the video. Blaise Purchase had his hands on the quarterback, but the quarterback made a move like he was throwing it away, the underhand type thing, but he tucked it back in. Blaise hit him and then just pushed him because it looks like he thought that the quarterback threw the ball, but he didn't. He still had it, and then he got out of his grasp and threw it downfield.
Some stirrings of grumbling from the Quincy faithful here on our sideline. They definitely would like to refute that call from the officials. Instead, it's going to take it back to fourth and six.
Still going for it.
Yep, because, again, they just don't have a reliable kicking game. Again, trying to draw the streaks off, and they did.
And they did.
They got Chase Castile to lean into the neutral zone. Chase looking over to the officials with the body language to say,
that's right in
front
of us.
I wasn't there.
I didn't see him cross it, but it was close.
I didn't either. It was right in front of us, right down below us. I think that's his contention, too. So, 5-yard penalty.
He did.
Now puts Quincy back in good territory at 4th and 1 from the Galesburg 37-yard line. And now they're going to huddle up. Going to huddle up and talk this one over.
Yeah, going back and looking at the video, Chase did go in the neutral zone.
Here's the Quincy we're used to.
There we go. Look at that.
Lined up in the wing.
To the left side.
Oh,
Streaks
hit
him at the line of scrimmage, but I think he's got the first down. In fact, we heard the crowd cheering over here when they saw the traditional formation by the Blue Devils. They needed a yard. It looks like they got maybe almost two by the time that play finally came to an end. A lot of players really slow to get up after that one was all over with. And the ball sitting by the time the official places it on the field inside the 36-yard line. So that's enough for the first down. So the offsides penalty against the Silver Streaks, huge. And they move the chains. On fourth down. New set of downs at the Galesburg 36-yard line. Throw to the near side, the short side of the field, complete to Tournier. Dylan McBride trying to rip that ball out. Tournier does a nice job to hang on to it. And a short gain of only a couple.
He actually did come out of the
the
scrum, the kerfuffle. He came out of it with the football and was disappointed that the officials weren't granting him the possession.
They're actually going to give him a gain of closer to three by the time we get down to the 33-yard line.
Well, hopefully we're identifying because most of the time that we're running trips, we're running it to the wide side of the field because we call it the field side. As they've been running the trips to the boundary side, again, as they are here, they've been doing quick plays, quick hitting plays, screens, things like that. Oh, now they go to speed option to the boundary or field side.
High toss, but it's complete to Humphrey, who gets the first down on the far side of the field, wrapped up inside the 20 and taken down at the Galesburg 19-yard line. A gain of 14 more. That wasn't the prettiest toss play on the option that you'll see as it floated up high, but it came right into the arms of Humphrey, and he had room to run for a first down. And another long drive by the Quincy Blue Devils. It now moves inside the Galesburg 20. Humphrey's longest run of the night of 14 yards. This drive started back at the Quincy 23-yard line. It's now to the Galesburg 19 on a first down. Hand off Humphrey. Patient run, steps to the left, tackled at the 16-yard line, picks up three. We wind down under 9.5 minutes to play in this opening half with a 12-0 Quincy lead. And the Devils looking for more. Everything they have done has been moving downfield. And the Streaks have just not been able to slow them down, let alone bring them to a stop. Taking a little more time on these play calls, getting the plays in from the sideline. They were really speeding up the offense earlier. Now slowing things down a bit. out of the short gun. Reese, straight drop back. Now rolling to his left. Throws on the run into the end zone, wide open. The feet are inbounds on the catch. It's a touchdown to Clay Hansen of 16 yards. And it's 18-0 Quincy. Quincy is just picking apart the Silver Streaks in every fashion.
Now, there's not much to say. The quarterback is not missing. He's scrambling. He's playing a fantastic game and putting the ball where it needs to be.
They had a holding penalty on that scoring drive and then had a huge play. Now they do go for the extra point kick. It is up, but it's wide left. So it's 18-0 Quincy. They still haven't converted on an extra point, but they've converted on every offensive possession and lead by three touchdowns now. 8:45 to go first half. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Power is the biggest touchscreen a truck has ever seen. But when you surround it with 19 speakers, back seats that do front seat things, and end up Motor Trend's 2019 Truck of the Year, that's the power to innovate. Come to Ram Power Days, going on now at YEM in Galesburg, with great deals on the most powerful lineup of pickups. Shop Ram Power Days, going on now at YEM, North Henderson Street, Galesburg.
Tax and license dot fee extra. With approved credit, not all ACs will qualify.
Tune in for Fighting Illini football as Illinois takes on Nebraska. Coverage begins at 6 o'clock Saturday night.
Follow the Illini all season long on WGIL.
Silver Streaks trail 18-0. Quincy has scored on every possession, every offensive possession. All on touchdown passes. This one a 12-play scoring drive that covers 77 yards in 5 minutes even. A 16-yard pass play from Lucas Reese. From Lucas Reese to Clay Hansen. And it's a big, big game. 144 yards passing and three touchdowns now for Lucas Reese. Justice Gatson receives the kickoff at the 7 up the middle of the field. Crosses the 30 and tackled at the 33-yard line. Streaks have to get something going in these final 8 minutes and 37 seconds. Got to move the chains, get some first downs, find a way to get downfield. Get into the end zone, get some momentum back. They've had decent field position on each of their first three possessions, but haven't been able to take advantage of it. Only one first down of the game for the Silver Streaks.
A little change of tactic here as you're going to see streaks go in the wishbone.
And the handoff to McBride back in the game, tries to bounce to the outside, and the hole closes immediately for no gain. Was there briefly, but the lead blockers couldn't fend off all of the dark blue jerseys coming at him. And McBride gains nothing.
So in comes Ayton, and here comes the Gypsy Akko. So here on down two, you'll see him spread it back out.
Yep.
Silver Streaks have 23 yards of offense in this game. Quincy, meanwhile, has 144 yards in passing alone. Over 200 yards in the first half, leading 18-0. Three wideouts to the left. Trips left, top of the field. One to the near side. And the ball comes free after the fake handoff to Dylan McBride, and Ayton has everything he can do to scramble and fall on top of the ball back at the 30 for a loss of three more.
Yeah, I think that was designed to give, and Connor saw at the last second there was a blitz from the edge, and if he can pull it out and get around the edge, he had some room to run. But if you ride that running back a little too long, the running back has a tendency to clamp down on that thing. And I think that's what happened there. So Connor tried to pull it out, and it just wasn't clean.
So third and long for the Silver Streaks here in really tough position. And now whistles a timeout called by Quincy. 7:44. It's the second Blue Devil timeout in this game, leading 18-0. Our thanks to Galesburg Nissan for providing our transportation to Quincy tonight. Guys and I traveling in a 2018 Nissan Rogue Sport SL with just under 10,000 miles on it. And, of course, that qualifies it as one of the many vehicles on the lot out of Galesburg Nissan that's part of the Pro Certified Lifetime Warranty, a lifetime limited powertrain warranty, unlimited time. That means it doesn't expire, unlimited mileage, so you don't, as long as you have the car, and at no additional cost to the price. So it's worth checking out both the certified pre-owned fleet and all of the new vehicles at Galesburg Nissan, corner of Carl Sandburg Drive and North Henderson Street in Galesburg. Ask them about the lifetime warranty. Check out this 2018 Nissan Rogue Sport SL when we get it back into town. And stay tuned for details coming up. The Phila Frontier Food Drive is back again this year in October. And stay tuned for more information coming out about that in the very near future. Knoxville leading South Fulton on the road, 35-0 at the half. So two big weeks in a row for Knoxville, after a continuous clock victory last week as well. Third and 13 Silver Streaks, looking for their first down conversion and only their second first down of the game. Empty backfield. Ayton looks right, slings it that direction, overthrows Justice Gatson. Went up high, got a hand on it, deflected out of bounds, incomplete. And even if Justice catches that one, he's 6 yards short of the first down.
Right, and he was vulnerable too. He was extended up in the air. You know, there were two guys closing in on him. You know, if he comes down with that catch, he's not going to get any footing underneath him, and he's going to get hit pretty hard there. So, you know, I don't want to say it's good it was incomplete, but I think that he's walking off. That's a good thing.
Right. Landon Miller, Dre Humphrey back for this punt from Ayton. Spiraling to the near side, taken by Miller at the 38-yard line and
nice
dragged
tackle.
Down and stopped right at the 40-yard line. So good pursuit downfield by the Silver Streaks.
There's Nico Delgiannis on a tackle.
Zach Innes helped finish him off as well. 7:32 to go in the half. Best field position of the night for Quincy. They'll have the ball at their own 39-yard line. 7:32 to go, leading already 18-0. Talk about what's coming up at halftime. Lots of things happening at Galesburg High School. Good stuff to talk about. Not the usual lineup,
right.
So we'll talk about that here in a moment. Reese out of the shotgun. Fake handoff. Rolls right. Passes it across the middle. Caught at the 46-yard line and stopped immediately. Sean, who are we going to hear from at halftime?
Well, we had two people lined up as spotlights this week as I got permission from Principal Houston to skip his interview. But one was the student council sponsor, Mrs. Tammy Qualls. The audio did not record on that, so we didn't get that. But I'll try to put some plugs in here for homecoming next week, as she was talking about that, but we'll have her on next week. But the halftime show, a good discussion with the band director, Mr. Andrew Impey, talking about this year's halftime show and the marching streaks.
Band's doing a great job. We've enjoyed watching their shows. There's a big run by Humphrey into Galesburg territory, finally wrapped up and stopped at the Galesburg 40-yard line, a pickup of 13 more. He had a big hole across the right side, and nobody could catch up to him until bringing him down well into Galesburg territory. Well, we're scratching our heads here. We see it happening, but stopping it is another thing. And Humphrey's starting to pick up more yardage. Streaks were holding him to short carries early in the game. 4 yards, 2 yards, but he's picked up 30 just in the last three carries. Got 13 there. Gets the handoff again. Running right with more room to run. Barrels his way close to the first down marker and knocked out right at the stick at the 30. And that'll be close to a first down and maybe enough to move the chains depending on where they spot it. Actually,
they
stick
short.
It
real
back
close.
Just a little bit. So it'll be second and a short yard.
Yep.
At the Galesburg 31-yard line, and still the Streaks backpedaling defensively. I think especially frustrating, guys, to watch this happen here on this night, because the Galesburg defense has been so tight these first three games and has been the rock star of this team, and just not able to stop Quincy at all through the first half of this game. Here's Reese rolling out, and finally they get some pressure on him and run him out of bounds for a loss of a couple. But even then, that could have been a lot worse, and he was able to minimize the damage, and it'll be 3rd and 3.
Yeah, nice pursuit there. I mean, one of the things that we haven't done a good job of while he's rolling out is to keep pressure on him. And when you have the pressure, you're not able to look downfield as well. He doesn't have the the vision to dump the ball off like he has. So we get nice, good pressure there. Got him out of bounds now, third and four.
Quincy 2 for 4 on third downs tonight, but they converted on fourth down both of those thirds that they did not. They go to Humphrey, wrapped up in the backfield, and this time the Streaks do make the stop. Slipped out of the initial tackle, was able to get back to the line of scrimmage, and it'll be fourth and three. There's the pursuit we're looking for, but they still got to make another stop here as Quincy is, with that kicking game, or lack of, is in two down territory.
So hopefully we'll watch the football here. I would expect Quincy to get up to the line and try to snap it and see if they can draw us upsides. They've done it twice. All right, hopefully we can make that adjustment here and at least make them earn.
Yeah, they've tried it more than that, but it is.
It's
been successful twice.
Been successful twice, right.
So out of the gun, fourth and three. They do snap it away. Reese rolling left, looking for somebody. Good coverage downfield. Now Vaynerman bites on it, so he just flips it over the top of Vaynerman into the hands of Sprick for the first down, who's then pushed backwards, but forward progress to the 23-yard line, and that's another first down for the Devils.
It's just right now no answer for the quarterback getting outside the pocket. They're running two blockers over on our edge rusher,
yep,
and he's getting pinned. And there's just the quarterback can do whatever he wants out there. He can run it. And what he's waiting to do is waiting for the corner to come up and pressure him. And then he just throws the ball to the receiver, leaving that spot.
Correct.
Yep, just flicked it right over the head of David.
It's like the RPO, so to speak. And the fact that
a little bit.
You have that, but it's still an option because now all of a sudden your corner becomes the option guy. If he comes up, you throw it. If he stays back, you run it.
First down from the Galesburg 23-yard line. Hand off to Humphrey. Wrapped up by Hunter Davina running right, but still picks up a couple on first down, close to the 20.
Listen, the result of the quarterback getting outside is a lack of interior speed that we have by our linebackers. Okay, if we're blitzing, we have no one out there to help out, and so we're getting caught up in the blocking in the middle, but we have no one that's scraping over the top to put that pressure, and that's why the corner is on an island. Very difficult for that corner to play that.
18-0 Quincy as we wind down to 4:10 to play here in this first half. Seems to be a little confusion between Reese getting the play call in from the sideline. Now he gets the directions away to the receivers on the right. Sprick delivers the message out there. Humphrey lined up left of Reese. Straight drop back with three steps going end zone, looking man-to-man coverage. And we're going to have pass interference as the receiver looked like Tournier initiated the contact with Dylan McBride. And then they both just got tied up with each other, and that's probably going to be against the Silver Streaks. It looked like Tournier reached out to sort of almost initiate the contact with Dylan to sort of get Dylan to run into him. But the pass interference penalty is going to go against the Silver Streaks, and it'll be a first down for Quincy. First and, well, not quite first and goal at the 11. So the 10-yard penalty, and it'll be first and 10. Just outside the 10. Another big penalty against the Silver Streaks. Helps keep this drive moving in the right direction for the Blue Devils. Humphrey the handoff. Starts right, crosses left, gets hit at the 10, falls forward to the 9.
Nice play there. I think it was Cannon Klein that came up to fill the gap there. Hold that down to a gain of 3 yards.
Mark it at the Galesburg 8. 62 yards on the ground tonight for Dre Humphrey. Adante Kreider went out with an injury on the fourth play of the game, and Quincy has not missed him at all. And again, Reese is able to draw Galesburg into the neutral zone before the snap. And that'll be half the distance to the goal line. And Mike Washabaugh wants a timeout. With 3:32 to go in the first half. That's a head-scratcher. We can opine all we want about what should be happening. The bottom line is it's not happening. And the Streaks struggling for answers. With Quincy facing a second and 3 from the 4. And already with a 3-touchdown lead.
Yeah, you talk about scratching your head. It's kind of what I'm doing here looking at it. It's like, you know, if they sit in the pocket and they'll hit the number three receiver real quick over the middle. He rolls out. They get a guy that sit in the pockets of the zone, and they'll hit him. He's kept it a couple times to the quarterback has to gain yards. And then you can't forget about the running game. They'll just run some quick power plays on the inside, and they've run some speed option away from the trips. It's almost like we don't have enough guys out there.
Ninth play of the drive upcoming for the Quincy Blue Devils, aided by two Galesburg penalties, one that is set up second and three here from the Quincy four, from the Galesburg four. 3:32 to go first half. Pass across the middle, and he finds a man open, wide open in the end zone for the touchdown. And it's now 24-0. Jack Rupert just found a soft spot in that zone, right into the about 2 yards deep into the end zone. And Reese, on a string, just threw it right in there. And he covered it up well right into the numbers, and it's 24-0.
You know, we're saying all of this. Right now, though, with Quincy lined up to go for two, we can actually keep it a three-score game if we hold them here.
The play call goes up the middle, but Humphrey gets in. He was hit 2 yards short of the goal line, but he then carried the Silver Streaks defenders across the goal line for the two-point conversion. 26-0 Quincy, 3:26 to go first half. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Why does the living room go downhill?
Well, we saved a lot of money on the foundation.
There's some things that have to be done right to make sure your project turns out the way you want, like site prep, foundation, and concrete. So go with Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project.
Did you know you can save about 50% on your air filters by having them cleaned rather than replaced? And Filter Service Center, now part of Mid-State Manufacturing, will even pick them up and deliver them back to you. Your filter's good as new. Filter Service Center at Mid-State Manufacturing.
I'm Will Stevenson. The most delicious event Monmouth puts on every year is coming up. We'll preview Bacon Fest Monday night at 5:40 during Galesburg's Evening News on WGIF.
Nine-play scoring drive for the Quincy Blue Devils. 61 yards in 4 minutes, 6 seconds. The fourth touchdown pass of the game from Lucas Reese to Jack Rupert. A 4-yarder. And the two-point conversion is good to make it 26-0. For Rupert, that is his second touchdown reception in 3 catches tonight. It's 26-0 Quincy with 3:26 to go in the first half. Freshman one tonight, 21-14. It has not gone anywhere as near as well for the varsity. A short kick down the middle of the field, running up underneath it, and the catch made at the 16-yard line. And finding his way through the middle and up the middle and across the right side, and a nice little run back for the Silver Streaks as Alex Egyptiaco covered that ball up, protected it, and returned it to the 37, maybe the 38. Cardinals-Cubs tomorrow on WGIL, 12:25 for the pregame. Redbirds have won their first two games at Wrigley Field at the most important time of the season from their standpoint, opening up an additional two games on the lead over the Cubs, with Milwaukee now in second place and still playing tonight. Also tomorrow, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series gives us the Federated Auto Parts 400. We'll have that one on FM 95, 94.9 FM at 5:30 tomorrow afternoon. Dre Egyptiaco out to the 45-yard line, 3 yards short of the first down, and one of the most positive yardage plays the Silver Streaks have had in this first half. And a player down for Quincy brings an official's timeout. Did you hear that, Sean? Did you hear the Cardinals won today? Just want to make sure you didn't miss that.
Did not miss that.
Just keep rubbing it in, boys.
Listen to it on the way here. It's kind of exciting.
For some.
I think, Jake, your assessment was 3 walks and a base hit was the difference in the game.
Yeah. This doesn't look real good, guys. This number 10, Quincy, looks to be an extreme amount.
Yeah, it looks like they're working on a shoulder.
Of pain right now.
Upper
arm.
That's Quinn Rupert. I like how Jake changed the subject there.
Yeah.
Again, 12:25 for the Cardinals-Cubs tomorrow here on WGIL. Sunday, we'll wrap up the series same time for the pregame, 12:25. Bears play Monday night, right?
They do.
Play the Redskins.
Yep.
So we'll have that one on 92.7 FM, the Laser. Monday night football for the Bears, who won in interesting fashion, we'll say, last week.
Yeah.
Snatched a victory from the clutches of defeat. Meanwhile, Jack Rupert still on the floor.
It was tied, right? The Broncos came back to tie it.
No.
No, they came back to take the lead, yeah.
Oh, they took the lead by one?
Uh-huh. Yeah. With 31 seconds, something like 31, was it? And a miracle finish by the Bears to get that victory. All right, Jack Rupert is up. And a nice round of applause, certainly from the Quincy faithful here on our sideline. And he's able to walk off under his own power. And at least
I'm still going
from up here.
I'm still going with the right shoulder.
Yeah, maybe like a dislocation. I mean,
he was in a lot of pain.
In a lot of pain, and then he walked off, you know, holding it. But
and then his buddies come up and hit him on the shoulder.
Yeah, that's what I'm right. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
All right, second and two for the Silver Streaks from the 46-yard line. They go down the ground. Dylan McBride, big haul up the middle, crosses the 50 to the Quincy 44-yard line, where he's finally brought down. And, again, back-to-back plays for the Silver Streaks, their best movement of the game
as McBride carries
11.
Senior Grant James, linebacker.
And now he rolls over and is crumpled down on one knee, trying to get back up, and now sits back down. It's been a long first half in many ways, and now this is making it a longer first half just in terms of time. And now he's up quickly, Grant James, and walks off to a nice round of applause from the crowd. And he heads directly for the Quincy bench. So that's three players now who have gone out with an injury. Dylan McBride was out earlier for the Silver Streaks, but he was able to return and gets Gillsburg into Quincy territory at the 44-yard line for only their second first down of the game.
Looks like he's holding his left hand. Wrist area.
Rolling right, Aiton tucks it in, gets to the 40, steps out of bounds at the Quincy 38-yard line, picks up six more.
Why is the clock still running?
Because they are just continuing the pattern that they established back in the freshman game earlier tonight.
The clock shouldn't be running.
Still running.
It's 15 seconds, 16 seconds.
He was out of bounds.
Yep, clock still rolling. Finally stops at 2:22.
I think someone yelled up here. He's out of bounds.
Yeah, I think I heard that.
It's 20 seconds.
I apologize if that was too loud.
Second and five, and the pass thrown behind David Vaderman, trying to get open, cutting to the far side of the field. 2:18 to go is where the clock stops. Should be more along the lines of 2:33 or so. So it's now third and about five. Call it a long four. But the only time the Silver Streaks have been in Quincy territory tonight, ball at the 38-yard line. Hate to see the 39-yard line. Hate to see the momentum stop here. Got to find a way to move the chains. Haven't done it on third down yet tonight. This is a big third and five. Aiton, good pass protection. Now a little bit of pressure, slipping out of it. Throws off his back foot to the far side of the field and overthrows everybody out of bounds at the 20, 5 yards out of bounds. And it'll bring up fourth down. Stops the clock with 2:09 to go. And now I'm starting to think maybe they should have let that clock run.
Yeah.
Quincy has only one timeout remaining. They have used two here in this first half. One in the first 3 minutes of the game. So fourth down for the Silver Streaks. Aiton comes up under center, now backs up in the short drop where he can pooch it if he needs to. Quincy stunting at the line. Here comes the pressure. Aiton squaring up to throw. He does throw and intended for Justice Gatson. There's a bump inside the 30-yard line, but it's overthrown out of bounds. It's incomplete, and the Streaks give it up on downs. So three straight incompletions for the Silver Streaks after moving the ball down inside the Quincy 40 for the first time in this game. And now they give it back to the Blue Devils with 2:03 to play in the second quarter, leading 26-0. Well, things were cooking along pretty well there. Got some momentum and just came to a screeching halt, didn't it?
Yeah, a bunch of incompletions in a row and a lot of pressure. And hopefully the streaks can hold on here and limit the damage. We do get the ball back at the end of or
start you know, the half.
To start the half.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can keep them out of the end zone here and see if you know we can turn things around.
How about a turnover?
That'd be
How
nice.
How about a turnover in their territory? Flag
nice
flies
hit.
From the far side of the field as Humphrey gets stuffed at the line of scrimmage and pushed backwards. So we'll stop the clock with a minute. Sorry, no.
And the clock runs.
What's the official saying?
I'm not saying a word this time. Clock's still running.
I did not see what the penalty was. Did you?
Nope, I'm just watching the clock
I was
run.
Too busy watching the clock, too.
Still running.
Yep. Finally, the officials see it as it works all the way down to a minute 32. I think it should have been at about a minute 48.
Somewhere in there, yeah.
So it's a 5-yard penalty against Quincy, whatever it is. So maybe a procedure penalty. So they're talking things over with the back judge to get the time right here.
I don't know.
There's the false start penalty, so it is a procedure penalty.
I thought they've signaled 51. They did. Minute 51.
So they didn't catch it when the Streaks had the ball, but they catch it with Quincy having the ball.
Well,
just saying.
Someone in their press box needs to pay closer attention.
So first and 15 for Quincy. Back at its own 34-yard line, leading 26-0. Minute 51 to go. After the 5-yard Blue Devil penalty. Reese in the shotgun, rolling right. Toss on the option to Humphrey.
Good hit.
Cuts back to the middle. Tries to get back to the line of scrimmage. Battling forward and picks up 4. Yep, they did take Reese down in the backfield as well after he optioned it away. So Humphrey picks up 4, and it'll be 2nd and 11.
Jake, you know as being an option quarterback, and me as coaching against option, you want to hit the quarterback hard every single time. Because
sure.
What happens is his hands get shorter, his read becomes quicker, and he might dump it off sooner. He makes mistakes. That was a great hit there by Hunter Davina.
Straight
keep him
drop.
Going.
Throws across the middle and intended in double coverage. Falls incomplete. Looked like the intended receiver, Sprick, again, took his eyes off the ball that time. The ball was coming his direction, and instead of looking at the ball, he actually looked out in front of him to see what was there. And by the time he looked back up, I don't think he could track where the ball was. And was in no position to catch
it. He put his eyes on Dylan McBride is where he put his eyes because Dylan was closing in pretty quickly and the receiver saw that Dylan had a good beat on him and I think he, you know, kind of alligator-armed that a little bit too. And I thought Dylan, actually, if he'd have put his eyes on the football, might have been able to make a play on that ball rather than being on the receiver.
I thought the guy was acting like he thought another receiver was in the area.
Could have been too.
Hand off to Humphrey on 3rd and 11 and the Streaks with a big stop. And let's see if Gelsberg calls a timeout. They do with a minute 13 to go. And it'll be 4th and 11. That incompletion, by the way, snapped a string of 8 consecutive completions by Lucas Reese.
Yeah.
And Scott Sprick, the receiver over here on the near sideline, is slow to get up. I'm not sure what the contact was there, but he got banged up in that play somehow, and he walks off the field a little shaken up. And they lost a yard on the play. It'll be 4th and 12.
Yeah, and the tackle for a loss there came from David Vaynerman. You know, I commented earlier about needing to improve some of the interior linebacker play, and stepped up there for a nice tackle for loss. So here we are at 4th and 12 now. Minute 13 to go.
Reese, the quarterback, holds the punting duties for Quincy, just as Connor Ayton does out of the quarterback spot for the Silver Streaks. This will be the first time we've seen Quincy in a punting situation, leading 26-0 with a minute 13 to go in the first half. And the first thing I think I would say in that timeout is, all right, just don't, whatever you do, don't jump off sides.
Yeah, they could do that twice and still not give up the first down.
Correct.
But you're right, that's definitely something they're looking at. And the Streaks aren't even setting up a return here. They're going to play defense.
So and Reese standing back at his 28, steps into it,
nice
and gets an end-over-end kick, bounces at the 25, and takes a big Quincy roll down
inside the
5, and diving on it, but he can't get to it before it crosses the goal line. That was a heck of a punt, and it was a heck of a chase by Quincy to get down to it, and it was going to be awfully close. So the Streaks are going to get it at the 20. which is a lot better than having it at the 1 or the 2, which is how that was shaping up. So now with a minute 7 to go, the Streaks don't get the field position they were hoping to get and have one timeout remaining.
Well, in a closer game, I would say do something really conservative here and just run the clock and get to halftime. But, you know, at this point, it's time to go. You got to see if you can find something that you can build on at halftime. And then, you know, we've seen big plays. Maybe we could break a couple tackles and hopefully try to put some points on the board.
Haven't seen the Streaks run any kind of trick plays yet so far this season. We saw Geneseo do it against us last week. Ayton rolling right, cuts back, tries to get out of a tackle, still on the run, looking downfield, slings it downfield into quadruple coverage, and is the catch made inside the 40? No, it falls incomplete. Two Silver Streaks receivers and four Quincy defenders there. And after all that, it's just an incompletion and second down. 4 straight incompletions for Connor Ayton. 51 seconds is where the clock stops. Second and 10 from the 20.
I still think we have the under route open for hitting the crossing route underneath the linebackers.
Good coverage downfield, and Ayton just has to get rid of it. I was looking downfield on that play to see who was open, and felt like I saw twice as many blue jerseys as I saw white jerseys. And Connor got under pressure and just had to dump it away. And that stops the clock with 45 seconds to go. And now the Streaks have to be careful facing third down at their own 20. Danger of giving the ball back to Quincy. Although the Blue Devils have, well, they still do have one timeout remaining. Got to believe the pressure is going to be on here. Looking right, now throwing left. Trying to slip out of a tackle on the far side. Justice Katz, it does. He hangs that ball. I'm sorry, that's Drea Gypsyako, and he gets all the way to the first down at the 31-yard line. Boy, that ball hung out there in that left arm. But Quincy wasn't able to get to it. And that was a heck of an effort by Drea to get that first down. So a gain of 11. First time the Streaks have converted on third down tonight at the 31-yard line. Under 30 seconds to go. Ayton rolling right with good pass protection intended for Justice Gatson, and he drops it at the 38-yard line. Had him on the run.
Hit him in stride.
Just off his fingertips.
Yep.
Connor Ayton only 4 of 12 passing in the first half for 39 yards. 3 of those catches to Drea Gypsyako for 23. Second and 10 from the 31-yard line. Streaks go 3 wide to the right. Ayton looks that direction, throws it down the middle, intended, and caught by Dylan McBride at the Quincy 40-yard line. He just dropped it in right over the heads of 3 Quincy receivers, and McBride reeled it in on a perfectly thrown ball and caught at the 38-yard line of Quincy.
With no timeout, right quick on the ball. They got to spike it.
With 17.7 seconds showing, and Connor does spike it down. And the clock rolls an additional second off of that. So instead of showing it about 16.7, it's showing 14.3. Well, our apologies if that came out over the air or not, but the Galesburg coaching staff just to our left is extraordinarily frustrated that the clock is not getting stopped at the appropriate time. So it's going to cost the Silver Streaks a couple of seconds here on second down. Ayton under pressure, flag down in the backfield. Connor throws to the far side of the field on the run, and another flag down, and that might be pass interference against Quincy downfield.
Yeah, but the one back here is going to be illegal procedure.
Yep, so it's going to be offsetting penalty, so at least it'll negate the Galesburg penalty. Put the flag down all the way back at the 48-yard line. And all that's going to happen is it's just going to end up taking more time off the clock, and the Streaks are going to be facing a replay of the down.
Yeah, and the frustration with the clock in that last play was it was 17 seconds, the ball was snapped, and we spiked the ball, but somehow 3 seconds went off.
Uh-huh.
You know, how do you take a snap and throw the ball to the ground to spike the ball and lose 3 seconds?
It's the home field advantage.
Well, and I blame the officiating crew as well for not being more aware that that's going on. It was happening in the freshman game. Pass across the middle intended for Egyptiaco and batted away. Good defense downfield by Brady Rupert out of the defensive back spot. Clock stops with 1.6 seconds. Pretty well thrown ball by Connor. It looked like he had his man open in stride, but Quincy got over there to bat it down, and it'll be third down and the final play of the half coming up with the Streaks trailing 26-0. And we think there probably ought to be about 18 or 19 more seconds on the clock than what's showing right now. Only one of those times that the clock wind down that the officials caught it and put more time on. And now flags before we get this one underway.
Will that be a runoff?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, I didn't think we were doing that in the high school game.
The clock has already stopped.
So, third and 14 for the Silver Streaks. Final play of the first half, getting shut out so far. From the 43-yard line, Aiton. Flushed out of the pocket, rolling left. Has to throw across his body, and he underthrows his intended receiver coming back for it at the 27-yard line, and that's how the first half ends. Tough first half, 26-0 Silver Streaks, trailing the Quincy Blue Devils at home. Lots of adjustments to make at half. Most importantly, the Silver Streaks have to find a way to stop this Quincy team, let alone move the ball offensively. We'll take a break. Again, Sean Hickey's visit. What's good at Galesburg High School? It'll be the Galesburg High School Marching Streaks and a visit with band director Andy Empey. We'll check out other scores from around the area, come back, give you some halftime statistics, and a visit with head coach Mike Washabout. 26-0 Quincy at the break. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Office Specialists, providing solutions for your business. By Templeton Roofing, Galesburg's oldest and most experienced roofing contractor. Visit them at templetonroofing.com. And by Tom Irons at Accounting Systems on Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg.
Good call on McDonald's for lunch.
Yeah, let's eat.
Okay, we have the
oh yeah
for me.
Can you hand me my
Yep, and here are a couple of woot-woots to share.
I love my woohoo!
Oh, sounds like Stacy went to McDonald's too.
Right now, grab a hot and spicy McChicken or a McDouble. Choose two for just $3 on the McDonald's $1, $2, $3 menu. Price and participation may vary. Single item at regular price.
Football and auto insurance are very similar in nature. In football, penalties can keep you from scoring, and with auto insurance, not having the right amount of coverage throws up a big flag. Hi, I'm Mark Craddy with Craddy Insurance, your Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. When I'm on your offensive line, you'll never have to worry about getting tackled, and our money-saving auto home discount is the extra point. Stop by Craddy Insurance on North Henderson Street and find out why Craddy and Rockford Mutual Insurance are the game-winning combination.
Is your friend a True Blue Cubs fan?
Your coworker is a diehard Cardinals fan?
I'm Lon Dunn, the executive director of the United Way.
And this is Scott Bloom of F&M Bank. For a donation of $25, United Way volunteers will put a 5-sign package in the yard of your choice.
For $50, we will bring our A game and place 12 signs. Text CUBCARD 2019 to 41444 or visit our website at unitedway-knoxcounty.org.
Looking for quality cabinets but don't think you can afford it? RP Lumber Designers can work with any budget. They'll show you how to have the quality cabinets you want at a price you can afford to help you make your Pinterest dreams come true. Visit them today and experience the RP difference.
The official WGIL forecast is brought to you by Justin Cook State Farm, informing you that auto accidents have the highest risk of legal action. Call today to see if you're properly insured. Partly cloudy tonight, a chance of rain, overnight low of 69. Cloudy tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms likely, a high of 79. A flash flood watch will be in effect tomorrow evening through late Sunday night, with showers likely, possibly thunderstorms, and some could produce heavy rainfall tomorrow night on through Sunday. High of 74 on Sunday. It's 78 at WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS Halftime Report on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Now let's talk with GHS Band Director, Mr. Andrew Empey. Mr. Empey, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so we know the band this year, the Marching Streaks, are having their halftime performance. And we know, too, that your Marching Streaks have been working hard for a number of weeks here and putting a lot of hours. If you could comment about the help that you have there in terms of your assistants that are helping out with the day-to-day work, particularly what's been going on with the Friday night halftime shows.
Well, with so many kids out there, it takes an army to get those kids out there on the field and to perform. So there's help from staff to parents, and then we also have some student helpers as well. This year we have a couple new faces with the Marching Streaks. We've got Danny Matthew, who is the new assistant director. He's also the director at Churchill Junior High. And then we also have Devin Cano, who's the associate director, and he also teaches at Gale Elementary during the day. So we've got some great people. Along with that, we've got Sandy Delagiannis, who is our guard instructor, Eric Spindler, who just helps with just different things on the field. We also have an arranger. His name is Ted Riker. He's the guy that arranged our music and wrote our drill for us this year. So along with that, we have a great band booster organization and parents that they're always with us from organizing uniforms, getting equipment on and off the field, and just helping the kids get down the road. So a lot of people helping out.
That's fantastic. That's what you need to have to be successful with this. So as I hear you, it sounds like about 5-6 extra set of eyes. So when you have that many people there, how many are you looking at? What's the overall number that you have this year with the Marching Streaks?
Yeah, we have 151 students that are on the field between the band and the color guard. So we have quite an army out there.
Now, a few weeks ago, I think it was before the first home football game, I was driving by Fremont, and I saw the band out there at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. I'm guessing that they're putting in some hours in preparation for their first halftime show of the season. So if you could tell our listeners about the amount of work that they put into it so far this year. When did you guys start with your camp and talk about such evenings that you've had in regard to preparation?
Yeah, the band actually begins right at the end, the last week of July. We'll do one or two rehearsals per week. And then we go into our pre-band camp week, which is just half days going 8 to noon. And then the following week in August is our band camp week, which are every day, all day, 8 to 4:30. And those days, that's what we need to get our show on the field. We learn the music, learn the drill, things like that. Then during the school day, we have class every day, but then we also have various sectionals throughout the week, but our main time as a band is every Thursday from 6 to 9. So the kids put in a lot of time, and they work incredibly hard.
Now, as you as people have seen, not always do our listeners at a home game listen into the radio broadcast, which is why I wanted to have you during an away game, so anybody who's listening right now could get an idea of what the vision is for this year's halftime show. But before we get into that, there's a change, a noticeable change. For years, the Streaks have had a certain look to them, and then when the Marching Streaks came out this year, I appreciated the look. I thought it was a nice combination between what the band had and the color guard and the whole ensemble. So if you want to take a second to comment on that, go ahead.
Yeah. So the uniforms that the band had when I came in last year were 26 years old, so they've had them for quite some time. And it was definitely time for an upgrade and maybe a little bit more of a change in the look to modernize what the band looks like. So we went through a design process, and we changed them up. We still tried to keep some of the similarities with the gold sash that's built into the uniform. The biggest change, I think, for everyone is we went away from the helmets and went to the Shaco hats with the straight-up plumes. But it designs straight down from the hat to the uniform. It makes the kids look tall. I think they look great. And I think the community is really responding well to the new look.
And I can agree to that. I really liked the new look when you guys showed up the past two home games. It's been really nice. Now, as we talk about the halftime show itself, what is the overall vision that you have for this? And what was the inspiration for the idea for the halftime show?
We use a person, his name's Ted Riker, and he's an arranger, composer. So he arranges all of our music, and then he also writes the drill. But we always get together and around December, January, and kind of start compiling all of our ideas for the show, what music we're going to use and all that. So it's quite a process to get there. Once we throw everything out on the table, our inspiration this year came from actually a drum and bugle corps called the Legends, and they had a show last year titled Along Came a Spider. So that was the inspiration for where our show came from. And then from the musical standpoint, there's pieces of music that I've heard, like Anton Bruckner, Symphony No. 8, from his finale from Symphony No. 8. That's always been a piece that I wanted to play with the band, and so that was one of the things we wanted to incorporate into the show. As you look at our show titled Along Came a Spider, you can see the band forming spiders out on the field, maybe doing some spider movements. We also have some props out on the field to imitate maybe what a spider web would look like. We're not really telling a story, but we're just portraying a concept of the spiders and the kids trying to get out there on the field and imitate that.
So you have a competition tomorrow up in Geneseo. What types of movements or adjustments have you guys made since the last home game this past week in preparation for that competition? And what should our listeners be looking forward to as they come out to watch you guys on homecoming week?
As I said earlier, the students have been working really hard throughout the season so far, but we have a lot on the field early on. So what we've been doing is just kind of working from beginning to end and trying to add a little bit more each day. So we've been working a lot on the timing of the music, timing of the feet and things like that on the field. We're also adding a lot of body visuals and things like that to help portray the concept of Along Came a Spider. One of the main things we're trying to add for our Geneseo competition and for homecoming is the closer, the last movement of the show, so we can have a complete show out there on the field for the audience.
Okay, again, we're talking with GHS Band Director Andrew Impey. Last question I have for you, Mr. Impey, is could you talk about the music selection and the process that came about for the music in preparation for this?
So it's quite a process in terms of meeting and kind of figuring out what we want to do for the show. So some of it is some of the pieces of music that I've really liked throughout the years. And then also just from a team standpoint, the staff, we all get together and throw things out there. So one of the things that I really enjoyed was this finale from Symphony No. 9 by Anton Bruckner. So that's always been a piece of music that I've loved. So what our composer, arranger, does is he takes all of this music and he arranges it. So it's kind of got a mixture of all types of pieces all in one. So the opener begins with Igor Stravinsky's Firebird. And then you'll hear a little bit of the Itsy Bitsy Spider, which is well known by everybody. There's a little moment of Spider-Man that's fixed into the show. And then the rest of the show, we use Aha by Imogen Heap. And then we also have a piece by Enya called Bodicea. So it's quite a process, but hopefully the audience enjoys it.
Sounds good. Thank you. Well, that's a wrap for this week's halftime show regarding what's good at GHS. Again, thanks to GHS Student Council sponsor, Ms. Tammy Qualls, and GHS Band Director, Mr. Andrew Impey, for their time. Coming up next, we'll have halftime stats and second half action against Quincy Blue Devils on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
The top stories of the day and so much more. 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg's local news.
Monmouth College will still take SAT and ACT tests as a part of their admission process, but they no longer will require it. VP for Enrollment Management Kristen English says test scores are not as good of an indication of a student's likelihood for college success as was once thought. She also says that test scores tend to put low-income students at a disadvantage since they don't have the resources to retake tests or take test prep courses. Police have arrested a man who drove through the corridors of a suburban Chicago mall before crashing into a store. Video posted on WGN's website shows the black Chevy Trailblazer driving through the Woodfield Mall in Schaumburg at about 2:30 this afternoon. People can be seen running, but police say no one was hurt. Witness Latif Faruqi told CBS2 that he saw the vehicle drive over a kiosk and strike a Forever 21 before the driver jumped out and was captured. I'm Cameron Lyne. Top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg's News.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. Defense Secretary Mark Esper announcing the deployment of American troops and equipment to the Middle East to shore up the defense of Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates in the wake of last week's attack on a Saudi oil facility, which U.S. officials say was the work of Iran.
Which will be defensive in nature and primarily focused on air and missile defense.
About 70,000 American troops are currently in the region. More than 1,700 water rescues carried out in the Houston area because of flooding from a tropical storm that dumped 40 inches of rain in some areas. Robert Horn got stuck in water in Harris County.
I hit that water,
Poof. That was it. How did car's floating. That car was floating.
At least three deaths are blamed on that storm. The New England Patriots cutting receiver Antonio Brown after 11 days with the team. He's been under investigation following accusations of sexual assault. America is listening to Fox News.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you by Arby's in Galesburg. They'll hang the big hat up on the side so you can see it. By Sabrina's Bridal and Prom in downtown Galesburg, where you're always one of a kind. And by Bradley Hicks, Century 21 affiliated. Morning, noon, nights, or weekends, Bradley Hicks will help you find your dream home.
I know. It's hard to believe trying to sell your car to CatDude69 on the interwebs wasn't the best idea you ever had. I mean, he seems so reliable, but he never showed. Take it as a sign to hop in that car and drive straight to Galesburg Toyota, where we'll buy your car today. Hi, I'm sales manager Tyrell Bell. The national clearance event continues, and the 19s are as low as they'll ever get. But even if you don't buy from us, I'd still be happy to put a stack of cash in your hand for your vehicle. So come see us and tell CatDude69 that ship has sailed. Buy local, buy with confidence, buy or sell your vehicle at Galesburg Toyota.
Well, how's the house selling going?
Not good. We've only had 2 showings and 0 offers. It's been a month. How long did it take to sell yours?
Not long, but we used Century 21. Each listing gets its own website, video virtual tour, and a link to share, so your house gets tons of publicity.
That would help.
They have the largest office in town with 19 agents. They will get your house sold.
For over 60 years, your friends and neighbors have gone with Century 21 Pecker Swanson. When you're ready to buy or sell, visit century21galesburg.com or call 3-4 homes today.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
News, talk, sports on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Halftime, Silver Streaks trailing Quincy 26-0. Our halftime coaches interview brought to you by RP Lumber. Visit RP Lumber and experience the difference. Let's go down to the field where Jake is with Coach Mike Washerbaugh.
I got Coach Wash here. Coach, obviously in the first half, I think offensively for Quincy, the quarterback on the edge caused some major issues for us out there. He could run, and he's doing a pretty good job throwing the football. Is that something scheme-wise that we can try to get, I guess, worked out for the second half?
Yeah, I mean, he's getting on the edge on rodeo, you know, a player that's made pretty good plays all first 3 weeks, you know, starting to get the edge set on him. Then they're running that inside zone, reading our linebackers, which is forcing that pull read, which is getting the ball fed to number 3, and it took us a while to get that taken away. You know, and then 2 blown coverages, jumping off sides 5 times as part of our scouting report. You know, they sit in clinics and talk about those things, and then we reiterate it to the kids. I know we can't jump off sides. I gave up a first down, so. You know, there's just a lot of mental errors, you know, and we challenged them. We asked them, have they done anything that we have not prepped for? The answer is no. It's just like we're playing flat-footed right now, lost our strike a little bit, got our dauber down. You know, I think we rallied back, but now the score is 26-0. So, you know, first thing we got to do is get a score.
So you get the ball back, you know, here to start the second half. Obviously, it's something you had to focus on at halftime, something that was done well. We did make a stop. There right before the half on their last offensive possession. Is that something you can kind of rally the troops behind, or is it just kind of get your nose to the grindstone and get to work?
Yeah, I mean, we got to get a score. You know, we just kind of been out. It's been a weird offensive game because we've, you know, been behind the score now here for the last quarter and a half. You know, and we got to get the run game going. We've hit a couple, and then we've had the same plays get busted. So, you know, we got to get that continuity. We picked up a stunt they hadn't shown early. The second drive of the game, they kind of got us on the sticks there. Because of bluff and a pressure, we got that fixed, and then you know it's like you're patching holes on the protection stuff. You know, you get some fixed, and then it's another guy. So, you know, in your head and your heart, you got to make a decision whether we're going to play hard, we're going to play physical, we're going to get back in this game, or we're going to watch Quincy win this.
Okay, good luck to you, Coach. Thanks.
Well, thanks as always to Coach Mike Washerbaugh joining us here at the half. The Silver Streaks trail 26-0. Our halftime stats also brought to you by RP Lumber. Again, visit RP Lumber and experience the difference. Not real impressive numbers, as you can imagine, for the Silver Streaks going scoreless in the first half. They do have 87 yards of offense, but 31 of those came on that pass play from Connor Ayton to Dylan McBride on the drive that eventually stalled out and ended at the half. Otherwise, it's been a major, major struggle. McBride is the leading ball carrier for the Silver Streaks with just 11 yards on the ground. Meanwhile, Lucas Reese is 17 of 22 in the first half with 166 yards passing and four touchdowns. The longest of them being an 18-yarder to Jack Rupert. He has two of the receptions of 18 and 4 yards. Clay Hansen has a 16-yard touchdown catch, and Scott Sprick has a 4-yard touchdown reception. 26-0 Quincy at the half. The freshman won tonight, 21-14. Let's run through some other scores for you on our halftime scoreboard. Brought to you by Courtright Construction in Oneida, the right choice for your next project. At last check, the second half is now underway, but at last check, Alleman was leading Moline, which is a surprise to say the least, 17-7. Sterling on top of Geneseo, 20-7. That game is in the fourth quarter. Mid-County lost to West Central, 28-0. It's Kewanee over Monmouth Roseville, 27-13 in the fourth quarter. Stark County trails Ridgewood, 29-14. And another final, Anawan Weathersfield has now gone final, shutting out Mercer County, 28-0. Did any of you see... either of you see a score on the Rock Island UT game? I saw several things on Twitter that indicated Rock Island was struggling, but I didn't see anything that said that there's been a score of any kind. I don't know if you guys found anything in our little halftime break there or not.
I have found nothing because we're in Quincy,
yes.
And I have no service.
Something I got 11 minutes ago from Jeff Wedlin up there at the dispatch was, Rock Island has zero running game so far with negative 5 yards on 9 carries against the Quincy defense.
I saw that one, too.
And that's the last thing
against
I've been
the
able
UT
to see.
Defense. UT.
Against
the UT.
Sorry. A little Freudian slip there. Yeah, against the UT defense.
Brewers lead the Pirates 6-0. That game is in the sixth inning. So the Cubs looking to fall farther back after losing to the Cardinals earlier today. And the Brewers hanging right in there with the Redbirds. I'm going to get off of Twitter. I'm going to try the ScoreStream app, which, of course, we are part of here on WGIL. You can follow area scores on ScoreStream. Farmington with a 28-7 lead over the Peoria Heights Co-op. Last we saw, Knoxville was up on South Fulton 35-0, and that's still the most recent score we've seen there. Ridgewood now on top of Stark County 29-20. Rocky leading 14-7. Hey, Jim Lee's on top of things for us. Thank you, Jim. The Havana Midwest Central Co-op leading Elmwood Brimfield. How's this for a score? This is in the third quarter. It's 49-32. The antithesis of this game. Princeville on top of United, 35-14. And Steve Cheeseman wanted us to point out that the Sox are having a big game over Detroit also.
They're still playing?
The Sox.
The Sox are still playing?
And they're beating up on the Tigers, who have lost 107 games.
Right. Well, great run back there by Justice Gatson. Gives the Streaks another good set of field position here.
Jim tells us Moline is up 17-7, not behind 17-7.
That would make a lot more sense to me.
Well, it's sure caught my attention when I saw that on Twitter. All right, so just a yard on first down for... Yeah, maybe two, I guess. So let's see what the Silver Streaks can do here, coming out of the halftime, out of the locker room, trailing 26-0 and trying to put something together positive here in the third quarter to get things moving in a downhill direction. They line up with four wideouts, and McBride just to the left of Ayton as the single setback. He sprints out to the left. The throw is to the left. Nice reach back by Grant Ayton to make the catch at the 46-yard line and then is dragged backwards. So they're actually going to spot the ball at the 45 for a short gain of just three. It'll be third and five. Silver Streaks got their first third down conversion on that play, on that drive that ended the first half. Let's see what the Streaks can do here on third and five. Trying to get a new set of downs and move the chains into Quincy territory. Short drop, sling across the middle, and the catch made at the Quincy 42-yard line right into the numbers of Justice Gatson with a true catch. Wrapped it up tightly, and the Streaks do move the chains on third down on a gain of 13.
What we're seeing here so far this half are some adjustments that the Streaks have made to go to a short or quick passing game. We just had a couple passing routes there that were quick hitters, and here we are at the first and 10 on the 42. 1 yard line.
Love those. Love those quick hitters.
Yep.
Same formation for the streak. Short drop and a pickoff. Pass intercepted as the far side of the field, and he manages to slip past Connor Ayton. It's Cole Parkhill, and then he breaks free from another tackle and returns it all the way for the touchdown. A defensive pick six for the Quincy Blue Devils, who now lead it 32-0.
Penalty flag.
Late flag.
Celebration.
That pick made it about the 42-yard line, so we'll call it a 58-yard interception return. That's the fifth interception of the season by Connor Ayton, and the first one returned for a touchdown. Well, there was momentum. Things were moving in a positive direction for the Silver Streaks, and, well, that goes by the wayside in a hurry. So the celebration is going to move Quincy all the way back to the 18-yard line for the extra point attempt, which again will be a two-point conversion of some sort. They converted on their final attempt. They were 0-for-3. Actually, they did kick one. It was wide left, so they were 1-for-3 on two-point conversions in the first half, the last one being a run. So they'll line it up at the 18-yard line to go for two here, leading 32-0. And with 10:05 to go in the third quarter, now in danger, Silver Streaks are in danger of having a running clock put on them. A lot of confusion by Quincy here to get the right personnel on the field to run this extra point opportunity. Reese, the quarterback, in the gun. Short drop, straight back, pressure on, steps up in the pocket. The scramble is on. He gets free to the outside.
Nice play.
And David Vaynerman tackles him at the ankles at the 15-yard line to end the play. So the two-point conversion fails. It's 32-0 Quincy, 9:52 to play in the game. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Live coverage of GHS Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by attorneys James Blake and Tricia Blake Miller at Blake Law Office in Galesburg, and by the UPS Store on the corner of Main and Seminary in beautiful downtown Galesburg. Proud to bring you the Silver Streaks on WGIL.
Right there where that giant tree is, that's where I want the garage. And then I want the sidewalk to wind around where those bushes are.
Need site prep, foundation, or concrete? Call Courtright Construction. They understand how pivotal those beginning tasks are. Give them a call for your next project. Courtright Construction of Oneida.
Tune in for Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. Weekdays at 2 on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
32-0 Quincy over the Silver Streaks. Galesburg trying to avoid dropping to 0-2 in the Western Big Six, but it's just getting tougher and tougher and tougher as it goes along. 58-yard interception return for the touchdown. Quincy scores within a couple of minutes, a defensive score to build the lead. North Fulton in eight-man football, leading Pawnee 14-12. Rushville Industry shut out West Prairie, right? I still say BPC West Prairie. That game was just 8-0. How about Princeton over Orion in that Three Rivers Conference game? You saw that too, Jake? 44-0.
Sean, that's your Monmouth College buddy, isn't that Johnny Carruthers?
John Carruthers.
Yep.
Johnny C.
Teams don't do that to Orion very often. Here's a kickoff by Quincy down the middle of the field. Justice takes it at the 6, to the 15, the 20. Upfield to the 25, dragged down from behind to the 28-yard line. And there's a flag down?
I don't see one.
I don't either. I thought I heard the PA announcer say a flag down, but did I misunderstand what he said? Because I don't see one anywhere. Mm-mm. So the Streaks will have it at the 27. Connor comes under center out of the I formation. The toss to Dylan McBride, getting to the outside, trying to run past the defenders and all the way to the first down marker at the 40-yard line, where he's finally chased down from behind by J.C. Lackey, but that was just foot race to foot race, and a nice run by Dillon to get out in front and pick up 11 on the first down.
Real nice to get the edge there. Jake talked about setting the edge a little bit earlier, you know, or actually it was Coach, wasn't it? Coach Washington mm-hmm. talking about setting the edge. You know, they did not get their Quincy did not get their edge setter up there. We were able to get the outside and pick up the first down. Nice run.
5 carries, 24 yards tonight for Dillon McBride. Now Ayton drops back in the gun. Hands off to McBride again. A little hesitation move. Finds a little hole across the middle. Now moving the pile forward. Still on his feet. Still moving the pile. And the officials letting it play through as he takes it all the way up to the 47-yard line. A hard gain of 8 on first down.
Yeah, what did we gain? About 5 yards after first contact there?
Yeah,
just pushing the pile?
Yeah, just, you know, continuing to show signs of life and working hard at this. And that's encouraging to see. So the Streaks have a little bit of offensive momentum going here.
You just got to play with that deep chip on your shoulder when the game going like it is and show you're not going to go down without a fight. They go to Dillon again. Big hole right up the middle to the 40. Sets to the outside to the 35. Gets to the corner and pushed out of bounds inside the Quincy 25 to the 24-yard line. And another big gain for Dillon McBride as he picks up 27. Call it 29, I can't add. That's why I'm an English teacher.
I just put it at 30.
Take every yard we can get, right? So that almost doubles Dillon's rushing totals for the night. He goes from 32 to 61. Now out of the I formation, right back to him again.
Nice
cuts
comeback.
Back to the right, to the 15, dragged down inside to the 12-yard line. And that's another first down for the Silver Streaks. It's been a full load of Dillon McBride, and give a lot of credit to the offensive line, which is creating some nice holes for Dillon to run through.
Jake and I both mentioned there about a nice cut. It was kind of funny watching David Vaynerman, who was kind of doing a lead block to the left as he was looking for someone to block. He didn't know that the running back behind him had cut the opposite direction. So he was just kind of out there, head on a swivel, looking for somebody, and there was no one around.
Back to McBride, bounces to the outside, gets to the 5, trying to fight his way into the corner, and pushed out of bounds at about the 4.
The Quincy player down.
So whistles as a Quincy player down. This is Cole Parkhill, who just had the interception returned for the touchdown after McBride carried the ball to the 4-yard line. So he picked up 8. So Dillon McBride on this carry, on this drive, has all by himself moved the Silver Streaks 70 yards down to the 4-yard line for a 2nd and 3, and the Streaks trailing 32-0 with 8:06 to play in the third quarter.
Jake, would you say it looks like they're working on him with the cramp?
Yeah. Yeah, they got him stretching out. That's what that looks like. It's a hot, humid night out here. So, yeah, that's definitely what that looks like in the calf.
Those hurt.
They're not nice.
No. And, you know, I think we talked about this week 1 with Dunlap and some of the cramping that we had there, that, you know, he's late enough in the game here. There's not much he's going to do to help that.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to come out. It's going to feel better. He'll get back in for a few plays, and it's going to cramp right back up. And any hydration now, which he needs to still do, will help out so he can sleep better tonight so he's not waking up with those same cramps.
No, those are the worst, aren't they? When those hit you at about 2 in the morning?
Yeah, nothing.
Yeah, awful. Again, Cardinals defeated the Cubs earlier today. We'll have game 3 of that series tomorrow here on WGIL. 12:25 for the pregame. That's also the start time for Sunday's broadcast as well, 12:25. And the Redbirds will head out to Arizona before coming home next weekend to face the Cubs and wrap up the regular season. NASCAR on FM 95 tomorrow. That's 5:30 for the Federated Auto Parts 400 in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. All right. 2nd and 3 for the Silver Streaks from the 4-yard line of Quincy. Galesburg trying to get on the scoreboard for the first time in this game, trailing by 5 touchdowns. 8:06 to play in the third quarter. Streaks ready to line up in the wishbone. Now the official blows a whistle and everybody comes set. Ayton under center. Handoff up the middle to Cannon Klein. gets very little before he's pushed backwards and comes rolling out at the end of the play. Let's see if they give him any forward progress on that.
No, he took him back a yard.
I thought he got back to the line of scrimmage.
Interesting spot.
The officials say he did not, so yeah, it'll be a loss of a yard. And it'll be third down from the Quincy 5. Only Cannon's second carry of the game. Streaks need to get to the 2 for a first down. They're thinking more. Play action. Rolling right under pressure. Pass gets away complete. But the stop made immediately is the catch made by Aaron Carl at the 5-yard line, and then he is taken down immediately. Heck of a job by Connor Ayton just even get that ball away. And a little play action fake handoff to Dylan McBride, and he turned around the other direction ready to find his open receiver. Instead, he had a defender in his face. And Connor was able not only to get rid of the ball, but to get it on the money to prevent any kind of loss.
Brought the pressure there. I anticipate pressure here, too. It'd be real nice to go on a hard count and see if we can't draw them off.
Mm-hmm. So fourth down for the Silver Streaks, and now a timeout called by Quincy. With 6:40 to play in the third quarter. That's their first timeout of the second half. First time the Silver Streaks faced third down on this possession. Now facing fourth down. Trailing 32-0. Galesburg at home next week. Homecoming activities with Rock Island coming to town on Friday night. Of course, the Powder Puff game will be at Van Dyke Field on Wednesday night. Parade at 4 o'clock next Friday afternoon.
You know, it's always been a fun week for the students to be active in that. You have Brad and you as being a class sponsor as well. You know what's going on in terms of kids getting together and trying to build their floats, working around their busy schedules and trying to get something together to be presentable by Friday.
This poor senior class has not had anything presentable for a float with me as their leader these last 3 years. Our goal is not to finish fourth this year.
Well, you got to have goals.
Unless they're having an eighth grade involved with it.
Dunlap up 28-21 on Washington with under 7 minutes to play in that game.
Here we go, fourth down.
Fourth and 3, Silver Streaks from the Quincy 5, looking for their first score. The toss play thrown through the hands of Dylan McBride, and all he can do is fall on it back at the 11-yard line. It's kind of a microcosm of the night right there.
Yeah, he had some room there to work. Not to say that they wouldn't close it down, but
it's easy to speculate. He just took his eyes off the ball.
He can't go anywhere without the ball.
So the Streaks give it up on downs. And now Quincy with 6:34 left in the third quarter, leading 32-0, has already put together a number of long scoring drives. They have not started this deep in their own field position at any given time tonight, but you know exactly what they're thinking. With one more touchdown and a 2-point conversion, would get this game to a continuous clock. Last bit of humility the Streaks don't want to have to give up here on this tough, tough night. First down from their own 11. Reese comes up under center. Out of the wing T formation. Handoff up the middle. And not much there. And the officials blew that one dead kind of quickly, I thought, on the handoff to Dre Humphrey. He was still upright and really kind of only going man-to-man. They stop him at the 13-yard line for a gain of 2.
Gain of 2 yards on the play, second down. Quincy back in the, like you said, under center, back in the wing tee there. And,
well, that's a personnel change here, though. We'll see.
Yeah. Looks like we spread it back out now.
Yeah, one play to maybe pacify the audience a little bit. Go back to spread.
Again, if you're just joining us, Adante Kreider, the stud running back for Quincy, was hurt on the fourth play from scrimmage in the game and has not returned and has not been missed from Quincy's perspective. As they get a pass outside for a first down to the 25-yard line. And another cramp, it looks like, at the end of the play after the receiver brought it in. Now they're helping him up, and Rupert looks to be okay. So up to the 26-yard line on a gain of 13. And more of the same, what we saw in the first half. At least on that play. 179 yards passing now for quarterback Lucas Reese. 36 of those to Ruper. And again up the middle to Humphrey. Stopped short of the 30 to the 29 for a gain of three, and lots of whistles at the end of the play.
He's cramped up too, Humphreys. Mm-hmm. I believe that's who it was. Can you see Jake? Is that 34?
Yeah.
70 yards rushing for Dre Humphrey on 17 carries. He has been the man out of the backfield with Kreider out of the game. They've had a couple of other injuries. Cole Parkhill went out back late in the second quarter.
That looks like it might say 31.
Yeah, that's Kai Benjamin, actually.
Yeah, right. He's gotten some carries. He's the big guy they have in the backfield.
Yes. He also starts on the defensive line for him.
Yeah, you're right. Humphrey's actually sitting on the bench over here.
Yeah.
No, he's gotten some carries. Number 31, Benjamin, is the 6'1", 245.
Yeah, he had a couple of carries very early in the game, and it's been all Humphrey since then, until now. Of course, they lost a player earlier. Quincy, lost a player earlier to what looked like a shoulder injury. So even though they're winning big in this game, it hasn't been without its own cost. In fact, that young man standing down there with his shoulder in a sling now.
They tried to get him up, and he immediately cramped right back up.
5:34 to play third quarter, 32-0 Quincy. We can talk more about that Cardinals-Cubs game today if you want.
Love to.
2-1. Redbirds won it again at Wrigley Field today. Brian Prescott reminds us we'll have Illini football tomorrow against Nebraska, since the Cardinal game is earlier. That'll be 6 o'clock, and a tough, tough matchup for Illinois, especially coming off that tough loss at home last week to Eastern Michigan. You were there for that one, Sean.
I was, and I got to see, to my understanding, it is the longest field goal this season in college football by the Illinois kicker. 57-yard field goal.
Wow.
With plenty of room to go, I think he had 5 more yards on it. Nice kick.
That Havana game with Elmwood Brimfield that we mentioned a while ago that was so high scoring, it's moved into the fourth quarter now. Havana up 55-38 now on Elmwood Brimfield. Talk about a change of fortune. Here's a fumble. Streaks create a loose ball. Still a scramble for it, and it looks like Ellsberg has recovered it at the Quincy 29-yard line. And they do. There it is. So the handoff and the streaks. I don't know if it was a miscommunication on the handoff or if somebody for Gillsburg just got a hand in there and popped it free. And the ball squirted all over the place before the streaks were able to finally control it at the Quincy 29-yard line.
That ball was on the ground a long time.
Sure was.
It just like nobody saw it or it was on the ground a very long time.
Yeah, Jordan Payne was the one who forced that fumble. Yeah, it was like a greased pig laying around there, wasn't it? No one can grab it.
You go to Dylan McBride again. Quincy ready for him this time. He tries to bounce to the outside left. He picks up a yard on first down. Hard to find a Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game candidate when the fortunes have been as they have here tonight. But
nice,
we're still open
play
to options, and maybe Jordan is a candidate. Still just past the midpoint of the third quarter, so we got a long ways to go in this one with the streaks trailing 32-0. Time for somebody to make an impact play of some sort that we could find a good person to award that to. Handoff goes to the right side, and McBride ducks down low, gets underneath the tackle at the 25, and gets inside to the 23 for a pickup of 5. It'll be 3rd and 4.
We showed up there in a wishbone formation, and we ran a, Jake, you'd remember these plays. It was a little cross action. Yep. Cross lead. I don't think that was a cross lead. That was just a cross lock, wasn't it?
Yes.
Now to the straight eye formation.
I give. Cannon Klein.
Hand off to Cannon Klein. The up man in the eye goes to the 22 for a pickup of a yard, and it'll be 4th down for the Silver Streaks. So that turnover that we were waiting for the Silver Streaks to have happen earlier in the game when they really needed to turn the momentum around. Comes here past the midpoint of the third quarter, trailing 32-0, and now in danger of not being able to take advantage of it with fourth and three upcoming. Silver Streaks 1-for-8 on third downs tonight. Galesburg will line up to go for it. McBride deep in the running back spot. Two tight ends set, two wide outs to the left. McBride running left, trying to get to the outside. Flag down on the backfield. He crosses the first down marker and out of bounds at about the 18-yard line, but this one I think is coming back. It's a hold against the Silver Streaks. So again, the ability to make something happen that's positive and then have it all negated. First penalty of the second half against the Silver Streaks. They had some key ones in the first half at some bad times. Flag down at the 25-yard line, so this will take them back to the 35. 44 yards in penalties tonight for the Silver Streaks. So how about the play call now? Almost got to go through the air, don't you?
Yeah.
Dylan got it on the ground, but now facing fourth and 16. From the 35-yard line of Quincy, out of the shotgun. Ayton looking across the middle, has a man open.
Touchdown.
It's a caught complete, and a touchdown for the Silver Streaks. Into the hands, on the numbers, to Justice Gatson. Perfectly executed, and the Streaks finally dent the scoreboard.
That's Dre.
That was Dre again?
Yep. Yes.
Ran out, he had a little one-on-one coverage here on the backside.
84.
Yeah, it's tough. You get a long ways up there. We did talk about
shoes. The yellow shoes help. Highlighter shoes.
You did forget your glasses, too. So.
Well, I don't need them at a distance, but now I'm starting to wonder if maybe I do. Streaks go for two. Connor on the option. Stops, scrambles backward, trying to get to the corner the other direction, but he's wrapped up all the way back at the 16-yard line and thrown down, then helped up. So 32-6 is where we stand. 3:23 to go in the third quarter, and Drea Gypsyako maybe now at Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game candidate. Let's take a timeout with the Streaks down 26. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Office Specialists, providing solutions for your business. By Templeton Roofing, Galesburg's oldest and most experienced roofing contractor. Visit them at templetonroofing.com. And by Tom Irons and Accounting Systems on Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg.
If your business utilizes equipment with air filters and dust collectors, let Midstate Manufacturing save you money. Filter Service Center, part of Midstate, specializes in the sale and service of every kind of filter. And they clean them too, which provides 95% efficiency at half the price of replacement. Get on their delivery route today.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
Four-play scoring drive for the Silver Streaks. Covers 29 yards in a minute 58 seconds. Touchdown pass, Connor Ayton to Drea Gypsyako. Two-point conversion, no good. 32-6 Quincy. 3:23 to play in the third quarter. Thanks again to Dave's Auto Body for sponsoring our Crunch Time Player of the Game, which we've been talking about here, and we'll work on continuing to select over some candidates as we go through. Now talking Jordan Payne. Created the fumble that the Silver Streaks were able to turn into points, something they did against Geneseo last week. Anytime you're converting turnovers into points, that's always moving things in the right direction.
And that was after a drive stalled for us. We weren't able to score some points there.
Short kick by David Olivas, backtracking and reaching it over the shoulder, Sean McCarty, and not much of a run back to about the 27-yard line, a return of just under 4 yards. Our thanks to Galesburg Nissan for providing our transportation to Quincy tonight. Jake, Sean, and I enjoying a 2018 Nissan Rogue Sport SL. Mileage under 10,000, although after this trip down to Quincy, second longest of the year, maybe not by the time we get it back. But, of course, it qualifies. Part of that lifetime limited powertrain warranty means for the life of the car that you have it, the warranty stays with it. It doesn't add any additional cost to your price, and it doesn't matter how many miles you put on the vehicle. If you get it at Galesburg Nissan, brand new car, one of the certified pre-owned fleet, you can get that lifetime powertrain warranty and one of the best deals you'll find at any dealership in the Galesburg area. Our thanks to Galesburg Nissan for providing our transportation to Quincy tonight. And stay tuned for details coming soon on the Phila Frontier Food Drive. It's back again for the month of October is when it'll start. And stay tuned for details on that event coming up at Galesburg Nissan. Gain of 5 for Quincy on first down. It'll be 2nd and 5 from the 32. Reese still in at quarterback. Takes the snap. Slings it underneath. Pass complete on the slant play to Sprick, and he'll get the first down close to the 40-yard line on a gain of 8. Actually down him at the 39 for a gain of 7, but still enough.
Something that the coaching staff is, you know, very upset about here on the sideline. That's obviously one of the big plays that they ran in the first half, running that quick slant on their number 3, and apparently they had some adjustments made for it, but the Streaks just aren't executing right now on defense. And we're going to get a quick officials timeout here to fix a shoulder pad here in the Quincy backfield.
Quarterback Lucas Reese inching ever closer to 200 yards passing on the night. He had 166 in the first half. He's got 20 here in the second half and limited offensive play calls as Quincy fumbled the ball on its first offensive possession. Hand off to the right side, trying to bounce to the outside, Humphrey. The Streaks close that hole quickly. Pick up a couple of yards on first down. It'll be 2nd and maybe 8. Nope, we're going to back it to the 40.
Yard.
Yep, just
yep.
A yard.
Yep.
Hunter DeVina still out here playing hard. David Vanderman in there on that tackle as well.
I think it was Coach Washball after the halftime and talking to you. He said playing with your head and heart.
Head and your heart, that's
and,
right.
And these guys are coming. We're matching intensity with Quincy here. The Blue Devils, we're putting up a nice half.
Straight show blitz. Pump fake by Reese. Under pressure right. Turns around, scrambling left. To the 35, throws it, and caught at the 50-yard line. He was inbounds on a perfectly thrown ball right at the marker to Clay Hansen, a yard past the first down. I'll tell you what, I'm impressed by this Quincy Blue Devils team's field awareness. Guys getting right to the right position, and Reese's ability to get the ball to them in just the right position. There have been a couple of passes as he's really threaded the needle on the sideline, and there was another one right there.
Great field vision to find that receiver and throw it where it was. And patience, you know, he's getting flushed out, but doesn't seem to be flustered as he's going. Oop, we have a penalty here.
Pointing Galesburg's direction. Somebody lined up in the neutral zone, I guess. So there's another 5-yard penalty against the Silver Streaks. That takes the ball into Galesburg territory at the 45-yard line now. Streaks over 50 yards in penalties for the night now. It'll be 1st and 5 at the 45. 32-6 Quincy as we wind down the clock. Under a minute 10 to go, third quarter. Straight drop, Reese looking long down the sideline, man-to-man
nice
coverage, and Nico Delegionis gets the hand up and bats the ball away from Clay Hansen at the 10-yard line.
I think the receiver may have had a step on him there, but Nico
so
made a nice play in adjusting to the ball and get his hand up right as the ball arrived. Nice defensive play.
1st and 5, why not take a shot downfield? That's what Quincy's strategy was, that's what they tried. Yeah, I'm with you, Sean. I thought Hansen had the position. Nico did a nice job just to do enough to get his fingers on the ball to deflect it away. Now on 2nd and 5. That did not look like a pretty handoff, but they got
close.
It away to Humphrey, and he picks up 4 anyway down to the 41.
That ball was on his hip, too.
It's a high snap, and Reese just kind of in one motion was able to bring the ball down and make the handoff to Humphrey. And he made 4 out of it. It's 3rd and 1.
Yeah, bad snap. You can really throw off the whole timing of the play like that. Unfortunately, he's able to get it.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been nice to roll down his leg and hit off his knee to one of our defenders.
3rd and 1, Quincy from the 41. Fake handoff, Reese. Another slant play and another completion.
Ball's out.
And now the ball pops free, and it bounces right to Tournier for Quincy, who's run out of bounds inside the 20 down to the 16-yard line. The pass was complete to Clay Hansen. Then he lost the handle on the ball, juggled it, and when it bounced right to Drake Tournier, who scooped it up and moved it downfield another 5 yards. First down at the 16. That's the kind of night it's been. Yep. Reese throws it left. Pass complete to Scott Sprick. Tries to get inside, battles his way inside the 15 to the 14. Tackle made by Nico Delegiannis. That'll be a short gain of 2.
It's a real nice open field tackle there by Nico as he came up. The quick, I wouldn't say it was a screen play, but it was a real quick hitter to try to get some yardage. And a nice open field tackle.
And that's the end of the third quarter with Quincy leading 32-6. Back for the fourth quarter from Flynn Stadium on WGIL and WGIL.com after this.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you by Arby's in Galesburg. They'll hang the big hat up on the side so you can see it. By Sabrina's Bridal and Prom in downtown Galesburg, where you're always one of a kind. And by Bradley Hicks, Century 21 affiliated. Morning, noon, nights, or weekends, Bradley Hicks will help you find your dream home.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't. Dave's Auto Body. You better call Dave's.
Galesburg Nissan is home with a lifetime warranty. No gimmicks, no deductible, and no expensive service requirements. Galesburg Nissan's lifetime warranty is just that. Unlimited time and unlimited miles. Plus, you get a free loaner car for life if your car needs to be in the shop. And every fifth oil change is free. Yes, for life. We just won our third consecutive Nissan Award of Excellence, recognizing large sales volume and superior customer satisfaction. We want to be your dealer for life, and we'll strive to prove it every day. Galesburg Nissan, home with a lifetime warranty.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
32-6 Quincy after three quarters. And Quincy on the move, threatening the 40-point mark. Abingdon Avon has gone final. They're kind of down in our country here, taking on Illini West over at Carthage. And the Tornadoes won at 32-22. Here, Quincy leads at 32-6. Farmington leading Peoria Heights Quest 34-7. Knoxville was a winner earlier over South Fulton. Canton leading East Peoria. Cambridge over Stark County. West Central shutout Mid County. Kewanee still leading Monmouth Roseville at last check.
Nice tackle by David Vaynerman there.
So it brings up 3rd and 7 for Quincy after the first play of the fourth quarter. Short drop. Reese looking for the corner, and the ball kind of fades backwards. Streaks got in there. Did they come down with it? It's a tie ball between the two, and it's going to be Silver Streaks ball. Touchback, and Galesburg will have it at the 20 on the interception.
The official there was perfectly on that call.
Is that McBride who got that?
Yeah, McBride. At perfect position. He's the one that came down with it. And as they kind of rolled across each other, the offensive player gets in there and kind of tries to act like it's a simultaneous possession.
Tried to sell it, but he couldn't sell it.
That's the right thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's almost exactly the play we saw down at Centralia. I know you guys weren't there, but the very similar kind of play where the ball thrown into the end zone, Dre Egyptiaco went up and it was a jump ball between him and the defender, and the officials gave it to the defense in that play, too. And the Silver Streaks thought they had a touchdown and were robbed of one. So this time the call comes back in their favor on almost an identical play. And now Quincy calls timeout. With the ball sitting at the Galesburg 20, 11-22 to play in the game in a 32-6 game. You guys talked about how the Streaks are playing with Quincy here in the second half. I mean, it seems kind of academic in some senses. And they were being trailing 4 touchdowns going into halftime. But then you look at the fact that it's an even ball game here in the second half. So, I mean, we were desperate for something positive to focus on, trying to figure out, you know, just as I'm sure the coaches were, desperate for ideas to try to get this team to turn things around. Well, they've done it here in the second half. I mean, they haven't cut into the lead. They haven't made a run at Quincy, but they've held them and they've played even with them. And that's, given what we saw in the first half, that's certainly something.
And I take it a step further and say that their only points this half have come off of a defensive score. It was a pick six.
Correct. Dylan McBride has done a nice job running the ball as he gets the handoff here, picks up a couple on first down. He has found room to run that was not there in the first half, and again, credit the offensive line for some of that, for a big chunk of that. Dylan picks up two on first down. He had only 11 yards rushing in the first half, 72 here in the second half. And it's second and eight from the 22.
Yep.
And flags. You saw it, Jake. Where was it? Right side?
Left guard.
Left side.
Yeah, left side of our formation. Quincy linebackers kind of threatened the blitz there, and it got our sophomore left guard to get a little
flinch.
Bit jumpy.
Yep.
That's all.
So it moves the Streaks back to the 17-yard line. Again, Galesburg home next week. The way the schedule goes for the Silver Streaks, it alternates until the last 2 weeks of the season. So the first 8 weeks are home, away, home, away, home, away, home, away, and then away to end the year. So Rock Island for homecoming. Open. Into the opening. Andrea Gypsiaco complete at the 30
Speed.
To the 50. And it's a foot race down the Quincy sideline. He gets a push from behind.
Not
and that's
good.
Going to allow him to get some distance and take it all the way for the touchdown. 83 yards, Connor Ayton to Drea Gypsiaco. And the Quincy defender trailing had the best shot at catching up to Dre. He reached out and pushed him. And Dre didn't get knocked off balance. He just used that separation to finish off the run.
That's
83
nice,
yards.
Nice breakaway speed right there. Put a move. We saw this in a Dunlap game where he put a move on one guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then off he goes. So great move. Great acceleration to get that touchdown. Here we are going for two now.
Ayton, empty backfield, looks corner, and he tries to find Justice Gatson, but leads him too much out of bounds. So the score holds 32-12 Quincy, 10:39 to play in the ball game. We'll take a timeout. Connor Ayton's last two passes have gone for touchdowns, 35 and now 83, and the Streaks trail by 20. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
WGIL, proudly connecting you to Galesburg.
Hi, it's Brett Wright from WGIL, reminding you about an upcoming walk to raise awareness about brain aneurysms. The family of Aaron Holes is hosting the Aaron's Angels Walk, benefiting the Brain Aneurysm Foundation on Saturday, September 21st at 9 a.m. at Lake Story Shelter No. 1. To find out more, click on Community Events at WGIL.com.
These community announcements are being brought to you by the staff and local ownership of WGIL.
Tune in for Fighting Illini football as Illinois takes on Nebraska. Coverage begins at 6 o'clock Saturday night.
Follow the Illini all season long on WGIL.
3 yard, a free play scoring drive. Silver Streaks don't even take a minute off the clock. 80 yards. With a 5 yard penalty, it goes as an 83 yard touchdown pass. Connor Ayton to Drea Gypsiaco.
We are lining up here for an onside kick.
I guess really it was just two plays since one of the plays was a penalty.
That's true.
Took only 43 seconds off the clock. So now the Streaks down 20. We've cut it from a 5-touchdown deficit to a 3-touchdown deficit. And if you can quickly get the ball back here and have the ball at midfield, try to keep the momentum going.
Big
There's
bounce.
The onside kick, takes a bounce, and Quincy covers it up nicely. A friendly bounce to Ethan Barnes, who was able to just wrap it up and fall on it at the 48-yard line. So it was worth a shot, 10:34
yep.
to go. So it's still a long way to play in the game because if the Streaks can yep. get that and then score, enough time left of the game, I mean, you'd really be talking about something. And if the defense can make a stop here, still might be talking about making something happen.
That was our sophomore John Wren in there kicking that onside kick, the normal kicker being
David Olivas.
Olivas, right. They use the soccer style, a little more soccer style in there to try to get that big bounce.
So the Streaks have turned two Quincy turnovers in the second half into scores. The fumble created by Jordan Payne and then McBride on the interception in the end zone. The sweep to the outside, finding a little bit of a hole and squeaking through it, Brady Rupert.
Ball's out.
The Streaks finally tackle him and...
Looks like they're
I don't see the Streaks reacting. Certainly the coaching staff was reacting. I didn't see any of the players responding, and it does not go as a fumble. So the Streaks are making some things happen here. They don't get the benefit of that call. It's a gain of three and a second and seven at the 49 in Galesburg territory.
Quincy will be as slow and deliberate as possible here. They're kind of limping to the finish line, you know, here with a couple turnovers and then a close, I don't know, it might have been a close fumble there. There was marked down by contact. They're getting back into the wing tee, and they'll be content just to hand this thing off.
It was right on your side of the field when that ball came out at the end. They go to Humphrey again to the left side. The Streaks pile him up and push him backwards.
Nice
so they'll
spot.
Pick up a couple of more. And it'll be third and middle distance, maybe third and a long four coming up here after a good stop by the Streaks defense.
You know, Jake, I think your comment about limping to the finish line is pretty accurate because I look down here, Kreider is not in pads. He's on a crutch. You have the kid that came off with the shoulder injury. He's in a sling. A number of guys have come off with different. There's one guy with a hand injury. We've had about three guys coming with cramps. It's taking a toll on the Blue Devils.
Trying to draw the Streaks off sides here. Galesburg flinched. A couple of players flinched. And nobody got into the neutral zone. Now they show blitz. Handoff on a crossover.
Kind of crisscross.
And Humphrey gets dragged down from behind by David Vaynerman. Ball popped out at the end, caused by when he came down on the
turf,
hit the turf.
Yeah.
But no gain as Vaynerman dragged down Humphrey from behind, and it's fourth and five. And we're seeing some spring in the steps of the Silver Streaks players at the way things have kind of changed here a little bit in the fourth quarter. Still 8.5 minutes to go, and the Streaks trailing by three touchdowns, but there is a palpable shift in the energy here.
Man, if I was Quincy, I'd continue to stay in the spread and do what they do because
their
most dynamic player is their quarterback. And when you get him under center like this, it just limits everything that he can do. So I don't understand their shift. I know they want to run the clock, but complete passes run the clock just like runs do as well.
It makes me think of what we see in the NFL when somebody has the ball with 2.5 minutes to go in a lead and they just run right up the middle three straight times and give the ball back to the other team and down the field they go. And it's a similar kind of feeling of what's going on here as Quincy uses a timeout. They run the play clock all the way down and stop the clock with 7:42 to go.
That should be their last timeout, isn't it? Scoreboard says zero, but I'm pretty sure they've used all three.
I think you're right. So they lead by 20, but a punt coming unless Rick Little is going to try to call something tricky here.
Yeah,
because even with the ball at midfield, if they do try to run a trick play and convert the fourth down, and if they don't, he can turn things over to his defense, which has been pretty reliable, although they've given up two big plays on pass plays from Connor Ayton to Dre Egyptiaco in about the last four Galesburg snaps. .32-12 is the Quincy lead. And let's see what they do coming out of their final timeout with 7:42 to play in the game. Freshman won earlier, 21-14. JV plays Monday. Reese, the quarterback, again, also the punter, only the second time we've seen him in this formation. Gets the snap. Puts it high and very short. Watch out, Silver Streaks, and went toward the sideline, and it's out of bounds at the 30-yard line. So not much net on that one.
16 yards,
yep. So the Streaks will have it. That took only 5 seconds off the clock, so 7:37 to play. If the Streaks can get it downfield quickly, they can try the onside kick again. First things first, though. Get this down to two scores.
Just keep fighting. We've shown a lot of nice fight here in the second half. We've gotten a couple turnovers. Just keep it going.
Quincy was able to take just under 3 minutes off the clock in running those four plays. Vaynerman, Egyptiaco line up to the near side. Ayton and Gatson to the far side with Connor behind. Fakes right, throws it left quickly to Dre Egyptiaco up the near sideline, sidesteps one tackle and steps out of bounds across the 35 at about the 36.
He was trying to wait for his lineman to catch up for a little, but he ran out of real estate.
Does get out of bounds, though. Stops the clock with 7:27 to play.
We keep our eye on that clock as well. That went down three extra seconds. You know, that's being a little slow on the trigger is one thing. 3 seconds is another.
Second and four. Ayton on the rollout right as McBride finds him. The double team comes on top and collapses on top of him. He'll pick up three, but is a yard short of the first down. Streaks don't want to use a timeout just yet. Still a lot of time to play, but down three touchdowns. First things first, got to get the first down here.
A third and one for the Streaks.
Second reception of the night for Dylan McBride. And the Streaks go quick snap right up the middle. They get the first down across the 40-yard line. And the Streaks move the chains. 6:57 to play, down 20. That's only the second third down conversion of the night for the Silver Streaks. But it keeps the drive alive.
We're getting some time back because they wound the clock, but the clock's not going.
Short drop by Ayton. Looking long, downfield, man-to-man, intended for Egyptiaco, and it's overthrown. And the defensive back, J.C. Lackey, had a better beat on it. I don't know if the ball kind of floated on Connor as he threw it up high, and there is a decent enough breeze here tonight. Does fall incomplete, though. From the Gillsburg 40, second and 10. Connor had 5 passes in a row prior to that incompletion. He's over 200 yards passing, 214 for the night. Second and 10. Short drop. Slings it to the near side to Grant. Tries to slip a tackle, but wrapped up pretty sure there. And a nice job by Brady Rupert to not let Grant wriggle free. It'll go as a gain of just 3 and 3rd and 7 upcoming from the 43. Clock rolling, under 6.5 minutes to play in the game. Streaks trailing 32-12.
Trips to the right. We have 1-on-1 down here. Dre.
Connor looks Dre's direction. Flushed out of the pocket, rolling right. Has room to run. Passes it away. It's complete on the far side to Grant Ayton at the Quincy 43-yard line, and he squirts forward to the 40 for a gain of 17. I'm judging from the coach's reaction, our Gillsburg, to our left, that the clock ran a little bit more after that
first
play.
Down, you know,
clock should stop enough to move the chains.
And now they should, and they place it because we were tackled inbounds. Now they should wind it.
38 yards receiving for Grant Ayton.
And it didn't go.
Connor rolling left and overthrows Justice Gatson, who had a step on his receiver, but underthrown, or Gatson ran too deep of a route. It falls incomplete, stops the clock, 6:06 to play. Second and 10 from the Quincy 40. Seventh, 8th play of the drive upcoming. Streaks go trips left this time. McBride stays in the backfield to block and coming back for it and almost picking it off as a good read by the defensive back on the far side of the field, Jack Rupert. He read it perfectly, but his feet just kind of went out from underneath him and he wasn't able to hang on to the potential interception. Break for the Silver Streaks.
I don't know if it was designed, but it was almost a back shoulder throw there to Dre. And Rupert does a great job of playing defender there and extremely close to picking that one off and ending any of the Streaks' momentum here.
Halfway through the fourth quarter, down by 20, 3rd and 10. Ayton rolling left, gets a block to free himself up. Squares, throws, downfield, and batted free and almost picked off by Quincy. Gatson and Egyptiaco both there as intended receivers, and Quincy is able to just knock it free, and it's 4th and 10, and the Streaks, in desperation to keep any hopes alive of coming back in this game with a must-have play right here.
Still showing good life, playing hard by the Streaks.
Yeah, no matter how much the game advances, no matter how much the game has evolved the way it has out of the power running game. There's nothing arcane about just good, hard energy and playing hard. Now the blitz is on. Ayton trying to get free. Throws it downfield. Heading for the corner. Open and overthrown. Vaynerman down inside. About 5 yards deep in the end zone. And Connor on the run through that in very good position downfield. And Vaynerman just couldn't get turned around and get in the right position to have a chance to bring it in.
He threw that about 50, 55 yards on the run.
Off balance. Mm-hmm. Yep. So it falls incomplete. Streaks give it up on downs. And Quincy takes over at its own 40-yard line with 5:42 to play in the game and leading 32-12. Streaks still with three timeouts remaining. So as much as Quincy is going to try to keep it on the ground here, the Streaks can get a couple of defensive stops.
They spread it back out.
They'll get the ball back. Hand off up the middle goes to Humphrey. He slips out of a tackle at the line of scrimmage, running
left.
They got
the ball.
And they strip it out, rip it free, and downfield goes Aaron Carl for the defensive touchdown. They went to Humphrey. He ran left, got stopped up, and Carl reaches in, strips it loose, and returns it 42 yards for the touchdown.
That's Benjamin on the play.
Yeah.
Running the ball.
And he's cramping again.
Yep.
And we've got ourselves a genuine Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game candidate. It is now 32-18 with 5:31 to go in the game. What's the acronym again that Wash was talking about last week?
Rip, pull, RP, slap. I don't remember. RPS.
No, it's a
punch, gouge.
Punch.
Fight, claw. Strip.
Pinch. Kick, knee.
Bite.
It's a 42-yard fumble return.
Grunt, growl.
Really a rip out and return by Aaron Carl, the sophomore. And the Streaks down by two touchdowns now. And now we'll line up for the extra point. And suddenly.
Well, right, because an extra
suddenly,
point.
Suddenly. Yeah. Go ahead, Jake.
But, well, the math.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
The math, I mean, you're down 14 now, so you don't gain it. You know, 12 doesn't get you anything. The 13 doesn't already get you. So
those extra points that they were unable to convert earlier are suddenly becoming potentially a factor in this game with still 5:31 to play.
Yep.
We're still waiting for Benjamin.
Still walking off.
To be helped off the field. The Streaks were all lined up, ready to go for the extra point with the kick. And Benjamin is just now crossing the sideline and headed toward the bench.
You know, speaking of Benjamin here, he was the one that flushed Ayton out of the pocket on our last play, on a fourth down play. And he cramped up as he was chasing him. I saw him kind of come up short.
Here's Olivas' kick. Looks good from here. It is. And the Streaks are within 13 now with a ton of momentum on their side and 5:31 to play in the game. Can you believe what may be developing here? Still a ways to go. Streaks down 13 now. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Live coverage of GHS Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by attorneys James Blake and Tricia Blake Miller at Blake Law Office in Galesburg, and by the UPS Store on the corner of Main and Seminary in beautiful downtown Galesburg. Proud to bring you the Silver Streaks on WGIL.
You thought winter was rough on you until you saw your driveway. Holy potholes! If you need help in the concrete department, call Courtright Construction. They're concrete craftsmen who have a reputation of exceeding expectations. Give them a call. Courtright Construction, the right choice for your next project.
I'm Will Stevenson. Knox County Health Department is once again in charge of local LIHEAP applications. We'll get an update Monday night at 5:10 during Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL.
5:31 to play in the fourth quarter. If you're tuning into WGIL thinking, well, let's see who Jim Bohannon has on tonight. I'm going, wait a minute, the Streaks are still playing? You don't know what you've been missing. Down 32 to nothing. The Streaks have scored 19 consecutive points and are lined up to go for an onside kick here with 5:31 to play in the fourth quarter. In an attempt to pull off the miracle comeback, maybe ever. Well, there's a ways to go here. Here's the onside kick. It takes a hop, and it goes right to the same guy. Another friendly bounce into the numbers of Ethan Barnes. But still, the Silver Streaks have those three timeouts remaining. As long as Quincy keeps it on the ground, they can use some of those timeouts to stop the clock and try to get the ball back. The defense has played a tremendous effort here in the second half. The Streaks have three turnovers that they have converted all into touchdowns. The last one, a direct touchdown on the fumble recovery and run back by Aaron Carl. The previous two, the Streaks got the ball back on offense and were able to march it downfield. Out of the shotgun, Reese looking left, pressure on, throws it across the middle, it's intercepted to the 40.
Cannon
climbed at the 30,
back there.
Cuts back to the middle and hangs on to the ball. And taken down at the 26-yard line, and the Streaks are in business. Cannon Klein with the interception, the first of the game for the quarterback, Lucas Reese, and Galesburg is close to the red zone to get it to a one-touchdown game with 5:17 to play.
When I was coaching in defense, when you get a turnover, stay outside. Keep running outside because you have a lot of big hands on the inside. And when you cut back, those big hands can get their hands on you, if you catch what I'm saying. They're a little bit, they're bigger bodied than Cannon, okay?
A little bit.
And that's why I say, no, don't run back in there because you got a lot of big hands. So stay to the outside. Great play by Cannon. Certainly gives us our offense an opportunity here to score again.
From the 26, fake handoff. Ayton looking long, going for the end zone. Man-to-man coverage and off the hands at the back of the end zone off Gatson. Good defensive coverage by Quincy. And Gatson goes into the sand pit down there.
Down the long jump pit. And another Quincy guy down.
Okay. No. And we got whistles. Yep, you're right, Jake. Another player of Quincy down at the 25.
They're going to
have to
cramp.
They're going to have to put the coaches out there to finish this game before too long. What does this tell you about Galesburg's conditioning? That this many Quincy players have gone down, and other than the Dylan McBride injury early in the game, which he has come back from, so the clock stops. This gives Galesburg a free timeout with 5:11 to play. Second down from the 26-yard line.
And we have a fair number of guys who go both ways. I think that Quincy has a better split there than we do. You know, fewer guys going both ways.
Sure.
But great for our guys to be in the shape that we're in. On a night like tonight where we're seeing a lot of Blue Devils go down, we are certainly showing right now that we're able to compete both ways with a big six team.
After the two big touchdown passes on the connections from Connor Ayton to Drea Gypciakou, 35 yards and 83 yards. Those were back-to-back passes by Ayton. He has thrown five straight incompletions, is four for his last 10, and has thrown only 29 yards. But it's the defense, as much as anything, that has helped charge this comeback. And the Streaks may still be in the process of continuing the comeback with a second and 10 from the Quincy 26. And J.C. Lackey is up and limping off the field.
This trainer from Quincy is going to have carpal tunnel by the end of the night, as many calves as he's been massaging.
Those cramps, they're not
easy.
It's
just on the calf, It's not easy to massage those out.
The Streaks coming out of what was a free timeout with that injury timeout on the field, lined up, ready to go. Two wideouts to each side. Streaks playing with confidence and momentum. Down 13 with 5:11 to play in the game. Out of the gun, second and 10. Ayton looks left, pump fakes. Now looks right, down the field. Gatson breaks free in the back of the end zone, catches it, but he's out of bounds. So it's incomplete, third and 10. Pretty looking play. Just
too much.
A step and a half too deep. This team playing with confidence or what right now? And they are just out hustling, out running, out everything Quincy right now. If time doesn't run out, under pressure. Ayton gets away from it. Pass complete. 2 yards short of the first down. Connor finds brother Grant at about the 17-yard line. It'll be fourth and two. Quincy reacted well that time. It's at the 18-yard line.
Got
Streaks
through.
Need two up the middle, and Connor, with a quick snap, gets the first down to the 12-yard line. He picks up five, and the drive continues.
Just kind of found a little seam there and got his the distance that he needed.
Down to the 13-yard line of Quincy. Handoff up the middle. Dylan McBride stopped at the 10. It'll be second and eight.
Streaks with a real sense of urgency getting up to the line.
Clock rolls under 4:20 to go in the game. Second and eight for the Streaks from the Quincy 10. Ayton looks right, and he overthrows the intended receiver on the far side. Off the fingertips and through the hands on the far sideline of...
Was
that
just,
Dre again?
Yeah, it was Dre. Falls up a little bit.
So very quickly, third and eight for the Silver Streaks at the Quincy 10.
And two down territory, obviously. Field goal doesn't do you any good here.
Right. Streaks 3 for 12 on third downs, but 2 for 4 in the fourth quarter, down 13. Third and eight here. Connor looks right. Now rolling left, has room to run. To the 10, tries to slip a tackle, does. Spins off another.
Touchdown.
Goes for the corner and scores. And the Streaks, unbelievably, are within 7.
The spin move he made at the end of that play was fantastic.
Well, not only that, but to come out of the spin move, get his cleats in the grass, to get back of the field right on the sideline. Great footwork there by the quarterback. Good field awareness, knowing where he was, putting the move on, and getting to the end zone. Outstanding play.
After the Cannon Klein interception and the return to the Quincy 26.
And a player down for Quincy.
The Streaks.
Sorry to interrupt.
Goes 7 plays, rather, 26 yards. And they take just a minute 18 off the clock. Connor Ayton with a 10-yard run.
57. Is that Lackey still?
The Streaks are down 32-25. Oh. And the extra point would put them in a position to get a touchdown and tie the game if they can at least get the one here. Olivas's kick is good, and the Streaks are within 6 with 3:59 to play in the game and a ton of momentum on their side, plenty of time, and all 3 timeouts remaining.
What a tale of 2 halves right now.
Oh, my goodness. You guys ever been involved in anything like this
Not
before?
Not like this. Not when it was just looked so one-sided and lopsided in one half. And just Quincy is just there's just nothing left, no energy, and really no players. I mean, I don't know how many starters are left out there.
They have almost a whole starting 11 on the bench right now because of injuries.
This last kid over here, 57, Zach Bates, the junior, that they stopped the play. He was on the white on the sideline, and all he did was just roll about 3 times to get off the white, and they ran a play, and he's still sitting down there.
Yeah, I see him down there.
He's getting up now, but.
All right, Streaks are going to line it up with John Wren to go for the onside kick. They've
tried
this twice already, and it hasn't worked yet, but they've been able to get the ball right back.
Third time's a charm.
That's right. Do it enough times. And, I mean, think about the immense pressure this is putting on Quincy now. They've had 2 very good bounces come to them that they fielded cleanly. 3:59 to go in the game. The Streaks down 6 now. Streaks are lining up for the onside kick. Wren boots it away. It takes 1 hop and a little trickier one, but a good job again by Ethan Barnes. That one came up shorter to him. He had to fall forward to get that one, and he controls it. And Quincy has it at the 49-yard line with, again, no time off the clock.
He needs all 3 of those have been quite similar. The first one was the best. He needs a second bounce within those 10 yards, and that second bounce will kick up high.
The Streaks get another turnover? They forced a fumble, turned it into a touchdown. Dylan McBride got an interception in the end zone. The Streaks scored on the next possession. They have a fumble recovery. Cannon Klein with an interception and
nice
a big
hit.
Stop and a loss on first down.
Jeremiah Morris. Sophomore stepping up big right there. Nice play.
And he's doing it both ways.
Yep.
They go with Humphrey, and he loses a yard.
Play fearless, young man.
Quincy is going to let a lot of time go off the clock.
They are just begging for this game to come to an end.
Yeah.
Because there's no way.
The Streaks were down 32 to nothing. They have scored 26 consecutive points. Quincy has no offensive touchdowns in the second half. And four Blue Devil turnovers. But the Streaks have turned into points every single time. Down six, second and 11. Rolling right, Reese with a keeper. Ducks inside, has some lead blockers, and dragged down at the 43-yard line of the Silver Streaks.
Might use a timeout here.
2 yards short of the first down. He picks up nine. It'll be third and two.
Do they have, I mean, the scoreboard shows all three.
I don't recall.
For the Silver Streaks, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't recall them using any. I don't have written down that they've used any.
This is the right way to go here. And if you stop them on third here, you immediately use one.
Quincy 1-for-2 on third downs in this second half, primarily because they haven't had the ball long enough to get to third down.
It's just going to be the quarterback here. If anybody gets the ball in their hands besides number one, it's a mistake.
They go to Humphrey, finds a hole up the middle, and he gets a first down and stopped at the 35-yard line. So he picks up eight. They do move the chains. Now Galesburg will start having to use some timeouts with 2:18 to play in the game. And maybe the loudest roar of the night from the Quincy faithful that they got that first down and didn't turn it over. And if we were the opposing broadcasters, we might be giving Humphrey the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game for that run right there.
That is a big-time run. And I was surprised anybody would touch it besides their quarterback at this point.
Run the risk of another running back with the
an
injury or another cramp. Who knows? I don't know their depth chart for that. But they've already gone through two of them. And we had a defensive back who was down over here cramping as well, who appears to be another guy on that depth chart.
Lost a linebacker to a shoulder injury. It's just been a parade of players limping off the field for Quincy, and the Streaks have not let up one bit. But now a new set of downs for Quincy at the Galesburg 35-yard line. 32-26, Blue Devils, 2:18 to play. Two timeouts remaining for the Silver Streaks. Can they get another turnover? Humphrey again with a carry up the middle. Gets inside the 25 to the 23-yard line. That's another first down. Suddenly, that offensive line creating some big holes up the middle. So they'll stop the clock to move the chains. Humphrey with 94 yards on the ground. And I guess the Streaks called timeout. I didn't hear the whistle blow.
They got the first down, and Coach Wash was already calling timeout. There was no reason for the clock to even run and to put on 4 seconds.
They put 4 seconds back on the clock. So Quincy got the ball with 3:59 to play. Galesburg has used its second timeout. Oh, now they added 7 more seconds, so 2:10 showing on the clock.
That's better.
That's better, yep. I don't know that this Quincy crowd knows what to think over here, so the band's
they thinned
playing.
Out quite a bit.
They
had a good crowd, yeah.
Stunning the way this second half has turned out. And everybody on this side of the field where we are just begging for this game to end. The Silver Streaks need another massive turnover in their favor with 2:10 to go in the game. Trailing by 6. First down, Quincy at the Silver Streak 23-yard line. Out of the gun, Reese. Up the middle, Humphrey. Spins off a couple of tackles and stopped at the 20-yard line. And Galesburg will use its final timeout with 2:05 to play. He picks up 3, and it'll be 2nd and 7. And the Silver Streaks have no ability to stop the clock now the rest of the way. They've got to have a turnover.
Yeah, and the math isn't in Streak's favor here.
No.
If you just, you know, you go 40, 40, and 40, and you just add that up, and it doesn't look good. So you're right. You got to shoot for a turnover here, and it's got, you know, at this point it needs to be you know, Herculean like what Aaron Carl did with a strip and a streak down the field. But we've seen crazier things tonight, so it's definitely within the realm of possibility of this getting done.
To correct me if I'm wrong, last week was Friday the 13th and the full moon, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty confident that was last week, not tonight.
All our equipment didn't work and all kinds of crazy things happened.
2:05 to go, fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
32-26, Quincy. Blue Devils ball, second and eight, just outside the Galesburg 20. Reese to the left side, trying to get to the outside. Flag down, skips another tackle, and finally slides down just inside the 20-yard line. Stops the clock with a minute 56 to go while they straighten this flag out, which most likely will be against Quincy. Some of the Quincy players pointing Galesburg's direction. I don't think so. Here comes the referee. It still does help Quincy, though, because it's going to allow them to run another play, and Jake, they ran some time off the clock.
Sorry, Jake, is there a hat by you two there on the floor, on the ground?
No.
Okay. On the 20-yard line, it's just a shadow or something? The
referee is trying to get away from the Quincy player so he can make this call. Now he's coming back to talk things over with it. Now he wants to have another discussion. So he talked things over with one of the officials. Has a word with Coach Mike Washabaugh.
Yeah, the conversation.
Two fouls.
Are you going to deny it or not?
Yeah, and the conversation was if you deny it, you obviously get to keep the down as being executed, but the clock would continue to run because the quarterback was tackled inbounds.
Yeah, he slid down. Again, another heady play by the quarterback to come down without going out of bounds. So there's the hold, and it looks like the Streaks are going to accept the penalty, so that takes it back to the 30-yard line. That's a tough call. It wasn't a big gain, but the clock would continue to roll. So they take the yardage and allow Quincy to run another play. This takes it back to the 30-yard line now. That's Quincy's first penalty of the second half to go along with four turnovers.
That spot seems incorrect. I know they threw the flag at the 20, but who was out there at the 20? The hold came back about the 25, wasn't it?
Well, regardless, now the officials are coming over. They blow the whistle. They want to have another conversation. 4 seconds went off the clock.
Can we get this clock figured out?
And the issue with the clock has been a problem all night long. And we're confident that you can hear some of the Galesburg coaches to our left who have been barking about it all night, rightfully so. Now they get time back on the clock, a minute 56. So here we go. Second and 17, Quincy. From the Galesburg 30-yard line, Streaks trailing by six. A minute 56 to go in the game. The Streaks out of timeouts. Reese keeps it, running to the right. Here comes the Streaks defense. They upend him back at the 25-yard line. Another flag down. Max Carr with the tackle. And that stops the clock with a minute 49 to go.
Cut block?
Yep, that's what I'm seeing too. Personal foul. Boy. Chop block against Quincy. Wow, they are just... They are self-destructing, but still lead by a touchdown and still have the ball. Still a lot going in their favor, yeah. Despite these mistakes. After mistake.
The big problem is it's still second down.
That's
they still
correct.
Get to keep the ball for three more downs. And these penalties, they continue to run some clock
some
off.
Clock. Yep.
And it continues to be second down.
That's why I say it's such a tough call. And
okay,
this shortens the field if the Streaks can create the turnover, which is the gamble that the Galesburg has to take here. Now it's 60 yards the other direction if they can get a strip, as opposed to 80 yards.
Still keep it on the ground here.
Yep. Reese in the gun, the quarterback, hands off up the middle to Humphrey. Got some room to run. Cuts back to the 30.
Tackle, holds out.
Taken down
holds
to
out.
The 25.
Holds out.
The officials say, or the Streaks say they have the ball. The officials are talking it over. No signal from the referees yet.
Galesburg ball.
Oh, no.
No. He's saying the ball was down. Galesburg said they had the ball.
He punched it from behind. They didn't see it.
The guy is right in front of him. I don't know how he didn't see it.
So the ball is at the 25-yard line. It goes as a gain of 15 for Humphrey. They missed it.
They did.
They just missed it. And the clock continues to roll now with under a minute 10 to go. Ball sitting at the 25-yard line, third and 12, Quincy.
I watched the replay. I can't tell in the replay if the ball was out.
Vanderman comes from behind, punches right through.
So Quincy takes its time here, coming up to the line of scrimmage. At the Galesburg 25-yard line, third and 12. Now 45 seconds to go. Reese looking to the sideline saying, when do I snap this away? The Streaks have to make it happen here. Reese rolling out. If they don't get a turnover, they don't win. And they strip it. They pull him down. The ball comes loose. At the 30-yard line, they dragged Reese down from behind. The ball popped out. And the referee standing there waving his arms in the air. And no signal. Now there's a conversation taking place on the far side of the field. The Streaks again lobbying for a fumble. I didn't see if anybody was able to pick the ball up or
Quincy
if it squirted out of bounds.
Coaching staff is halfway across the field.
Understandably so.
Sure, okay, they should be. They're going to call it fourth down, but are they going to call the ball out of bounds?
He wasn't out of bounds.
The clock has stopped at 30.
But the ball
7.
Was out. I don't know.
I'm watching the replay here.
This officiating crew is not going to win any fans tonight.
If they run the play clock, this game's over.
Right.
Because they don't have to snap it. If the ball was out of bounds and they have to run this play, then the Streaks will have one opportunity. As long as they stop them, they will have one opportunity. Nope, they're going to run it.
Yep, there
ball
he goes.
Game's over.
Yep, so the game is over.
Wait,
you're right.
But they haven't run the clock yet.
Yeah, the referee.
Did he wind it or he just punched
it? No,
I
guess he just said it. So, the Streaks are going to have a chance.
Huh. Or did he reset the play clock?
Yeah, he just
reset
the 40.
They're coming to the line. The clock has stopped at 30.7 seconds.
He pushed up, but he didn't
wind
it.
So they have to run the play here. Reese, back to pass. He's going to throw. He's got man-to-man coverage. The Streaks go for it. And is it drop? Yep, I see the ball squirting out.
That's better than an interception.
Yes.
At that point, yeah.
So the Streaks are going to get a shot at it here.
With 23.6 seconds remaining. Unbelievable. The Streaks are going to have a chance to think that they would even have a chance in this game. And they're going to have a chance with the ball at the 30 and 23.6 seconds remaining, trailing by 6.
Do you guys remember the trick play that Quincy did at our field
before
halftime? Low crossing, hook and ladder.
Ayton in the gun. Back to pass. Pressure. Slings it to the far side. Caught by Egyptiaco. Back to the middle of the field. And he's tackled at the 40-yard line. But, yeah, he got across the line of scrimmage at the 42. The clock needs to stop. They do finally stop it at 12.1 seconds. They got to stop it to move the chains.
Unreal.
They should reset the clock.
Yeah, they should. They should put about 4 seconds back on the clock, I would think. Because the officials weren't paying attention and didn't see it. 12 seconds to go. The Streaks have another chance. From the 42.5-yard line. Now the official looking up at the scoreboard. So they are going to put, I think, a little bit of time back on the clock. Maybe. He's looking at the scoreboard, waiting. The Streaks are ready. The referee is still looking at the scoreboard. 12.1 seconds. 32-26 Quincy. 14.1 seconds on the clock. 14.0 from the 42.5-yard line. Ayton under center spikes it. And a half a second goes off the clock.
Not bad for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So second and 10. Second and 10 from the 43-yard line. 13.3 seconds remaining. Three wideouts right, two to the left, empty backfield. Ayton, back to pass, under pressure, needs to get the ball away. He does throw it. Is he in the grasp? The official says no.
Incomplete.
It was an incomplete pass. Connor with about a half a second to go, and now the Quincy coaching staff lobbying for intentional grounding.
There's a player there.
There is a discussion down at the 40, rather the 38-yard line with a clock stop, 5.4 seconds to go. So it's incomplete. That's not going to make the Quincy cook. Like I said, nobody's going to be happy with this officiating crew when it's all
Connor
said and
done. Just went down to the ground.
Yes, he did, holding his left leg. And Brandon Terrell goes sprinting out there.
Now he has to come out because the Streaks don't have a timeout.
And opportunity right here, Jake. So, what, you're an offensive guy. You take a stick out with you, right? And you draw something up in the
draw something
sand.
In the dirt. You're the yep. bottle cap, and you're the rock, and
you're going this way and that
you're
way.
The cigarette butt, and you're going this way, and you're going that way.
Drawing a scale.
Yeah, and you're going to have to do it with your backup. So I don't know. Is Grant going to throw this ball? Is Stip? I have no idea who's going to throw the ball.
I don't know either.
It's looking like a cramp here too.
Yeah,
you can't get it
I
straight.
Believe so.
Yeah, you can't get it straight.
So something about certainly Connor scrambling out and then getting dragged down from behind like that, I have no doubt, is what triggered that muscle reaction in his leg. 5.4 seconds to go in the game. 32-26 Quincy. Galesburg facing third and 10 from just about its own 43-yard line. Connor up. Walking off the field under his own power, but...
Is it possible, Jake, this is our last play, theoretically, that we put in Grant, take a play and just snap it and kill the clock because it's only third down, and then get Connor back in.
And then put, yeah?
Yeah. I don't know. Just
spike it and get him back
in. Yeah.
So Grant lined up in the gun, the sophomore younger brother of Connor. Back to pass, maybe the last play. Looking long, throwing it up into traffic. And it comes down, deflected, and then falls incomplete. And that's the end of the game.
The
ball came squirted out toward the goal line, and somebody for the Silver Streaks was there with a chance. It was Justice Gatson, and he couldn't reach it. And that's how the game ends. Unbelievable comeback for the Silver Streaks. And an unbelievable hanging on by the fingertips victory for the Quincy Blue Devils. I'm convinced if this game goes 2 minutes longer, the Streaks win it.
It's over, right.
But the Streaks ran out of time and an extraordinary comeback that just falls short. 32-26, Quincy barely hangs on.
Wow.
And the infirmary for the Blue Devils will be awfully busy this weekend.
We'll have to have enough crutches.
32-26 the final. Let's get to the post game. We'll take a break. Talk with Coach Mike Washabaugh first when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Don't pack up your barbecue. Let the barbecue come to you. Why not have the perfect deck in your own backyard? RP Lumber carries the latest quality composite decking materials you need to have a maintenance-free deck. Visit them today and experience the RP difference.
Live coverage of GHS Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by attorneys James Blake and Tricia Blake Miller at Blake Law Office in Galesburg, and by the UPS store on the corner of Main and Seminary in beautiful downtown Galesburg. Proud to bring you the Silver Streaks on WGIL.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. By Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. By Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. By Midstate Manufacturing, the headquarters for any of your steel material fabrication or powder coating needs. By Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. Silver Streaks football is also brought to you by Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Yem Auto Group on North Henderson in Galesburg. Home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yem. By Kratty Insurance Agency, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. And by the all-new Galesburg Toyota, the dealership everyone is talking about. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
The official WGIL forecast is brought to you by Justin Cook State Farm, informing you that auto accidents have the highest risk of legal action. Call today to see if you're properly insured. Scattered showers, even a thunderstorm possible tonight, over that low of 69.
Cloudy tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms likely, in a high of 79. A flash flood watch will be in effect tomorrow evening through late Sunday night, with showers, possibly thunderstorms, and some could produce heavy rain tomorrow night on through Sunday. High of 74 on Sunday. It's 76 at WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS postgame show on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Silver Streaks fall to Quincy, 32-26. That's right, I said 32-26. If you left us when the Streaks were down big early, and I'm not sure that I would have blamed you if you did, given how badly things were going for the Silver Streaks, and then came back at some point and thought, surely you were not hearing us correctly. There's not a doubt in my mind, we were just 2 minutes of game clock away from the most incredible comeback I certainly would have ever witnessed, at least in a high school game. I suppose there's that one NFL game in the playoffs a few years ago when that Tennessee who came back and that huge comeback, but
Oilers and Bills.
That was a big one.
But this
yes,
was
I said Oilers.
Boy. Not Oilers, but it was Harbaugh.
Something else that I don't know. This hurts in a whole different way than last week's game to Geneseo did. And so we're going to talk about our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game here in a moment, because, boy, do we have some candidates. And Mike Washabaugh talking with his team about as long as we've seen him do it in the on-field huddle. And so it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say after this is all said and done. But, wow, what...
Here he comes.
What an incredible comeback, and what an incredible almost victory for the Silver Streaks to work so hard and to have everything go their way like they did.
Yeah, just gutsy.
You really feel for them that they weren't able to finish it all the way off. Our post-game coaches interview brought to you by Craddy Insurance, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance agency in Galesburg. Let's go down to the field. Here's Jake with the head coach.
Coach Washington, the last thing I remember you saying to me at halftime was something about in your head and in your heart. I'm assuming that you knew your boys had it in their head and their hearts to come out and put out a second half just like they did.
Well, that's why we traveled 46. If we didn't, we would have fired them and found 11 guys that did, you know, and that happened in a couple situations. But we found some guys, you know, and they got some mojo and got going. Again, the only thing they did in the first half was come out and run speedo, okay, adjust. They hit us for a 10-yard gain. But other than that, it's everything they ran. So, you know, I mean, the lights are too bright. Like, that's the next step for us to overcome. You know, and there's been groups before him that have done that, but, I mean, I just told him in the huddle right there, like, this game's over, Quincy's done, move on to Rock Island, you're going to have the same quality ball club, you know, for all 9 weeks, you know, and we've got to find that piece. You can't come out and feel people out, can't come out and be intimidated. You know, we lift that way all offseason, we train that way, practice that way, we got to carry it over into the game.
You know, you talk to your guys on the field today, and that's I haven't seen you do that, and I know, obviously, with the game the way it was today, the message has to be a little bit different. There aren't any moral victories for you guys, I'm sure of that. But this week of coming up with homecoming week and that kind of stuff coming up, are there things you can carry over from what we did in this second half that we can really, like, push forward towards playing Rocky next week?
You know, I was pleased with the run game. You know, Jordan Payne got fired. I mean, I don't like yet saying people's names, but he got fired in Centralia game, you know, and he came out and he ran behind him and Blaze the entire second half. So kudos to him. You know, the easy thing would have been to just roll over and quit, and he did not. So, you know, I found a player in that. You know, we cultivated some D-line depth, I thought. You know, we took away what they were doing, made some adjustments to, you know, we have to come out and play, like, extremely fast and play with confidence and execute the game plan, like, three and outs, and then just let them go up and down the field. Like, that's a slow start. Like, we can't do that.
So, just, I guess, for the last question here, Connor had to step out of that game, obviously, with no timeouts left. And he's down hurt. Is that what necessitated having to bring Grant in for the last play of the game?
I mean, we have depth at quarterback. You know, we have four on Aaron. We felt comfortable with Grant. You know, and Connor, he rolled his ankle. He's walking off now. But, you know, he just wanted to be precautious with having five more games. We didn't want to take a chance of, you know, him injuring that. And Grant had more enough arm strength. So that's kind of where we were with that.
Amazing football game, Coach, in the second half. Thanks for talking.
Yep, thank you.
You know, I often think of the saying, in sports, and you know, whether it's basketball in the first half and baseball in the first three innings or whatever, and you don't win games early, but you can lose them early. And I think that's a little bit of what we saw here tonight, the Silver Streaks' inability to come out, as Coach Wash was just indicating there, to come out and be ready right from the get-go. And as he said at halftime and said it again there, there wasn't any surprises that Quincy was doing, but their inability to stop the Blue Devils early ultimately is why Galesburg does not come out on the high side of this, just because of the way the second half went. Still a remarkable comeback for the Silver Streaks, and lots to carry over into the remaining five games of this season. We're going to take a break here. We'll come back, go through our final statistics, give you our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. 32-26 the final as Quincy barely hangs on. More post-game coverage coming up on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Harvest time is here, and more farmers are taking a look at the all-new 2019 Chevy Silverado at YEM. With a new engine,
Jake,
new trim, and a whole new look, the new 2019 Silverado is lighter, has more cargo room, and a range of new features. They've even upgraded the corner step bumpers to accommodate steel-toed boots. From farm to freeway, see what makes the all-new Silverado as flexible as you need it to be at YEM. North Henderson Street, Galesburg.
If your bathroom makes you cringe, but you don't want to deal with the mess of a remodel, I have the quickest, easiest solution possible. At Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, we can cover your tub, shower, and walls with a custom-fitted acrylic bath system. It won't chip, crack, stain, or fade. Plus, no more grout. You can pick from a variety of colors and styles to fit your taste, and in just a few days, you'll have a transformed bathroom. I'm Neil Thomas. Give us a call and get your beautiful new bathroom at 342-HEAT.
It sounds good on AM, but sounds even better on FM. 93.7 FM, 1400 AM, WGIL.
32-26, Quincy hangs on and knocks off Galesburg. Blue Devils 3-1 on the season, 2-0 in conference play. Silver Streaks dropped to 1-3 and 0-2 in the Western Big Six. How about our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game tonight, guys? We got a lot of candidates.
Jake, you want me to go? Are you going?
Well, go ahead, because I'm still climbing the mountain to get back up here. So go ahead, Sean.
Okay. You'll get opportunity to come up here and catch your breath. So,
Jake wants the last word. That's really all it is.
There it is.
That's fine. But, you know, you said it right. We have a number of guys here. We can talk about the forced fumble by Jordan Payne. We can talk about the strip by Aaron Carl. The interception by, was it Nico in the end zone?
Yes.
No, Dylan McBride.
Right. McBride. How about the touchdown run by Connor down here in front of us where he puts a spin move?
A little spin move.
And he gets in the end zone. How about Dre Gypsyako with two touchdown receptions?
Yeah.
And even talking about Connor on the throw on the first one, that was a laser right into his numbers that led him perfectly right in the end zone. A number of candidates. But really, what I'm going to go with is when we came out the second half and we're putting a drive together, and the Streaks made me eat my words because I said, you know, we're moving the ball here. We're doing a number of quick hitting plays. We're executing what we wanted to coming out of halftime. And no sooner did I say that than we threw a pick six. And at that point, it was 32-0.
Yep.
We put together a nice drive that gets down in the red zone. It stalls out. And one or two plays later, Jordan Payne comes up with a nice hit that caused a fumble that comes out. And, you know, we saw a lot of things that took place after that. Everything that I mentioned earlier comes after that play. And that's why I think that, for me, Jordan Payne is the Crunch Time Player of the Game, because that changed the game. The whole momentum of everything from that point on was Galesburg's way. So we recover that fumble, and we score our first touchdown off of that. Okay, and then we start seeing everything else go. That was Dre's touchdown pass that Connor threw on it right on the numbers.
Uh-huh.
And everything that I mentioned then takes place after that. So talk about really a tipping point and a tale of two halves. Just completely, I mean, if someone was listening in the first half, man, this is frustrating. We can't do anything. This kid at halftime was 17 of 22, something like that, for 170 yards.
Four touchdown passes,
and we had no answer for it. And they come out and do what we did in the second half to them. Like you said, they ran out of time, and luckily they did, because we certainly had momentum. And for me, Jake, it starts with Jordan Payne's
forced fumble there.
Sean, that was an extremely long but well-thought-out answer.
You said you were tired, and I was giving an
opportunity to catch
your breath.
I did. I appreciate the chance to catch my breath. Yeah. I'm personally going to give it to the Quincy medical staff. Yeah. I think they deserve and may have done more work than any of the players out there.
Certainly more crossers.
I like Aaron Carls. Just the strip sack was right in front of me. It was so exciting. Even after Jordan's forced fumble, it was still at that point, to me, it was, okay, this is going to be nice for us. We did score some points, but ultimately we're still down three scores. When Aaron Carl made that strip and ran it the other way, which is just basically an individual effort play, that's the first moment where I thought, oh, my gosh, we might have a shot at this thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's still going to be really unlikely, but we might actually have a shot. So, for me, I like that play, and I think it's great that we can have the authority to maybe give it to more than one guy when something like this happens.
Which is exactly what we're going to do tonight. Jordan Payne, Aaron Carl, Crunch Time Players of the Game. It was all sparked by the defense, and it was all followed through by the offense, and we just needed a little bit more time. 32-26, the final. We'll close things out from Quincy when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Office Specialists, providing solutions for your business. By Templeton Roofing, Galesburg's oldest and most experienced roofing contractor. Visit them at templetonroofing.com. And by Tom Irons and Accounting Systems on Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
Kehoe Eye Care has expanded and now offers state-of-the-art vision care on the square in downtown Monmouth. Meet new doctor, Alexandra Brake.
I have a lot of experience with cataracts, glaucoma, macular degeneration, and pediatrics. I really like working with kids. It's fun to get the little ones excited about the health of their eyes. I'm now accepting new patients, and I'd love to meet you.
For the most thorough exam available, make your appointment at Kehoe Eye Care, now in Monmouth and Galesburg. Schedule online now at KehoeEyeCare.com.
At Kehoe Eye Care, we care for people, not just eyes.
You're adding a room to your house. Who's the first person you call?
My wife?
Wrong! Courtright Construction of Oneida. Unless your wife can lay a concrete foundation so beautiful it'll bring a tear to your eye.
Well, she makes a good pot pie.
Which you'll enjoy on your very level foundation from Courtright Construction.
Did you know you can save about 50% on your air filters by having them cleaned rather than replaced? And Filter Service Center, now part of Mid-State Manufacturing, will even pick them up and deliver them back to you. Your filter's good as new. Filter Service Center at Mid-State Manufacturing.
RP Lumber is your source for anything from lumber and building materials to light bulbs and paint. RP believes buying materials should be the easiest part of any project, whether you're a contractor or a do-it-yourselfer. Come visit them today and experience the RP difference.
They must be held accountable for all of it, for lying about Trump putting kids in cages.
The Rush Limbaugh Show, starting at 11 weekday mornings, WGIL.
Post-game statistics brought to you by Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. Pretty impressive numbers in this game when it's all said and done. Connor Ayton finishes with 254 yards passing, two touchdown passes, both to Dre Egyptiaco, who ends up with 172 yards in receiving. Brother Grant Ayton had five catches for 46. Dylan McBride had two catches for 34 yards. McBride also the leading rusher on the night, 14 carries for 85 yards. Connor Ayton, 6 carries for 20 yards, including a 10-yard touchdown run, which the guys alluded to also was certainly a candidate for the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Play of the Game. Lucas Reese for Quincy ended up with 213 yards passing, 5 for 7 in the second half with an interception. 22 of 29 overall with four touchdowns, but again, just 5 of 7 in an interception in the second half for 57 yards. Vast difference from what he did in the first half when Quincy outscored the Silver Streaks 26-0 through the first two quarters. Dre Humphrey, the leading rusher on the night for Quincy, 25 carries for 112 yards. But again, defense the key for the Silver Streaks. Dylan McBride, an interception in the end zone. Cannon Clyde had an interception that set up the Silver Streaks' fourth touchdown of the game that got him within one. Two other turnovers helped set up the Streaks' two offensive scores. And, of course, that strip sack that Jake was talking about with Aaron Carl stripped it out, ran it all the way back for a 42-yard return. And, boy, tough to leave here as close as it was. Proud of what the Silver Streaks did, but I guess it hurt for the kids more than anything to see that effort and ultimately not be rewarded. So that to me is, I think, the toughest part of leaving here tonight, to battle like they did, to do nearly the impossible and not be able to have the satisfaction of walking out of here knowing what they did here tonight and having a successful result at the end of it. But they'll bounce back. I have no doubt about that. Better do it quick, too, with Rock Island coming to town next week.
That's right. You're talking about 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds. They're going to bounce back, do just fine. And we don't want to dwell on a moral victory and talk about that. But, you say walking out of here without having – there's a lot of good positive things to take away from it.
No question.
And, you know, it's not just about the win. They would like to have the win. But – you know, you look at
we'd like to have the win for them.
Yeah, you look at a team where Quincy's been at the top of the conference the past 3 years. They've been a solid program, and it looks like the first half, man, Quincy's still good. They're going to be at the top, and we come out and we match them the second half, and to make a statement to the Big Six and say, listen, we're a team that can be up there as well. You know, we're not going away with this with a win, but it's certainly something that's going to make the other teams respect us a little bit differently than if they just looked at the first half.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I agree. I mean, we feel it too. There's no bigger fans than the three of us up here, and we call the game like we see it, but we also see these kids in our classroom, and we're going to all talk to them on Monday about it, and nobody's rooting for them more than I am down there on the sideline. I'm as demonstrative as some of the other guys, and so it does hurt, but like you said, they'll come back, and nobody's going to feel sorry for them, and Rock Island's going to come into town here for homecoming week, and you can't dwell. It's now time to fix the mistakes from the first half and build on the second half and come out ready to go.
We appreciate you guys making the long trip down here. We'll be looking forward to being back home, and hopefully we'll get home in time for that game next week.
I hope so.
As long as this night was here tonight. 32-26, the final. Quincy holds on. Silver Streaks do win the freshman game, though, 21-14. For Jake Miller, for Sean Hickey, for Brian Prescott at the Downtown Studios, thanks for being with us through it. Thanks for sticking with us throughout the night, and we do hope you have a fantastic rest of your weekend. Don't forget Cardinals baseball and the Cubs tomorrow at 12:25, Fighting Illini at Nebraska tomorrow night at 6 o'clock here on WGIL. We'll be back with you next Friday night at home against Rock Island for homecoming. Good night from Quincy.
Thanks for listening to GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.